The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he needs
fun. Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves. Running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and wow, what a Thanksgiving break it was. Started off with a huge win in New York, New Jersey, actually, over just a clown team.
Well put, Fred. Very
now,
well put.
Now, you know,
J-O-K-E. Joke,
right,
joke, joke.
Now called the Jets, but the Big Apple Circus was in town, and it was not pretty if you were a Jets fan, but it was the best of times if you were a Patriots fan. So good, in fact, that Fireman Ed has taken off his hat and will no longer be leading that stupid chant. Actually, it's not stupid. I got to give him credit. It's a very good thing that they do. But he's not going to be doing it anymore. He feels that it's just too much confrontation these days. And
because he wears the Sanchez jersey now.
Oh, so Fred. He can't take off the jersey and wear another one and still do it?
I know.
It's for the kids.
Right, for the kids.
Did you hear him?
Yeah, he's a joke.
It's for the kids.
He's a joke. The team is a joke. The Patriots prove that. Just a great game. You know, usually these blowouts are ho-hum, but this is one where you enjoy thoroughly throughout, right up until the last victory formation. Everything we thought it would be, well, everything that we were hoping it would be, I didn't think it would be.
I didn't think it would be that. I thought it would be close. I thought it would be a tougher game.
I don't know how anybody could have predicted, you know, the amount of bumbling turnovers that the Jets committed in that game. I'm not trying to sound like a apologist because I picked it to be a close game, but
I was shocked.
Three touchdowns in 52 seconds. Yeah. If you had that one, my hat's off to you.
I mean, I thought there was a chance that the Patriots would blow them out, but not in that fashion, not because of the Jets completely imploding. You figured a big AFC East game, the Jets are on the brink of either being in it or out of it. You know, that Rex Ryan would have his team up. They'd play tough like they usually do against the Patriots. Hell, they took them to overtime here at Gillette. You know, I still think they have a credible defense, but they just couldn't muster anything on offense. Although Sanchez, when you look at it, he had pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
They just made
garbage.
So many mistakes.
Absolute garbage numbers.
Yeah, so many mistakes. They just completely folded under the pressure. And
I'm going to disagree slightly with one thing
you
said, only that if you had told me it was a blowout, and I thought there was a chance the Patriots could blow them out. I didn't think they would, but I thought there was a chance. But if you told me it's going to be a Patriots blowout, that's how I would have thought it would happen.
Oh, yeah?
It was just an avalanche of turnovers. I think, you know, if the Jets played, like you said, if they came and played hard for Rex Ryan and played a good, solid football game, like they did up here.
Yep.
Not perfect, but they played a pretty good game up here.
Mm-hmm.
They made some mistakes. They allowed a kickoff return for a touchdown, and Sanchez underthrew a potential touchdown badly. They made some mistakes, but
but they were competitive.
Not, you know, five mistakes in 5 minutes.
They brought it to overtime.
You know, the game on Thursday night was almost just a comedy of errors. It was so laughable.
After the first quarter, I'll give them that
but
much
even
at least.
Yeah,
the first quarter was.
They came out and played hard. Yeah. I thought they just didn't play well. I think you're right, Eric. I think they came out and they played with some purpose early on, and then he throws that ridiculously bad interception into triple coverage. Mm. And it just spiraled out of control from there.
That second quarter was the downfall. And we saw, I've never, I don't think, ever seen fans leave a game at halftime or in the second quarter.
Well,
I've never seen that.
I want to talk about the fans, response to the game, the in stadium. I want to talk about that a little bit later because I got some issues with that. Any fan base doing what they did.
My guy Andy Hart, by the way, he'll come down and defend himself in a minute. But he gave me a lot of static because I wrote in the other factors as part of the preview how that dynamic was at play there. You know, a night game on Thanksgiving night with the Jets involved can go one of two ways.
Prescient.
You know, easy. It could go one of two ways. And this was the other way that it can go. If things avalanche on them early on, that crowd becomes an unbelievably negative force for the Jets.
And it did.
Unlike any other home crowd, maybe, with the exception of the one we saw last night with Philadelphia. I didn't watch any of the game, but Philly can be like that too. But even the Giants crowd isn't nasty like the Jets crowd is toward their own team.
Yeah.
There's boos, and there's boos here certainly in Gillette Stadium, but not to that extent.
I think a lot of that, it's psychological. It's being the second fiddle and the stigma that comes with that. And when things go bad, you know, you want to make sure that people know that, you know, you're not above it, but separating yourself, and you are not going to stand for that. So there's a lot that goes into that. Anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Eric's here. Paul's here. Andy will be here. He's posting Ask PFW. Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. And we'll be all here for the next 2 hours talking Patriots. It's good stuff going on. Patriots getting ready to go down to Miami to take the Dolphins on for the first time this season. They got two games against the Dolphins in December. Other than that, they're finished with the AFC East so far.
Yeah, and a couple of things. If they win Sunday, all they have to do is win Sunday.
Clinch.
Yeah. They're AFC East champs, guarantee themselves at least a playoff berth.
Right.
And a home game.
Right. So that's something to that's motivation enough if there wasn't any before.
Yep.
For this game. A tiny bit of potential news that hasn't really been announced and probably won't be until probably tomorrow maybe, but it appears as if Jeremy Ebert is back with the Patriots. The seventh round
he's
pick.
He's off the street.
He was released at the end of training camp and was picked up, I believe, by the Eagles practice squad.
I didn't remember him being picked up.
And I think he was only there for a cup of coffee. He wasn't there for very long. But he has since been on the street. You're right. And he tweeted today, back where it all started, hashtag see you soon.
Northwestern?
And he put, no, but he put the Twitter handles of Nate Ebner, Jake Ballard, and Jake Beckett. Yes. Yeah. So it appears as if with some help at needing help at wide receiver.
I think that's certainly part of it, but you also lost Salas.
Yeah,
who was,
that's the
who
another
was your
part of it.
Right, he got signed
because he got signed by the Eagles.
The Eagles,
still waiting on the availability of Branch if they wanted to bring him back. Who knows? Maybe they don't want to bring him back. Maybe it was. I kind of thought one of the veterans would come back.
Gaffney
just got let go in Miami.
He? Yeah.
You know, even Stallworth hanging around all year out of work. You know, one of those guys. But that's interesting. I hadn't known about that. The Jeremy Ebert. That's interesting.
And that was brought to my attention by an astute follower of Twitter.
Who would that be?
Somebody in the building who follows Twitter very closely.
All right.
Follows our web developments very closely.
Okay.
Brought that to my attention.
He's just not going
to
tell me?
Well, I don't know if he wants, you know, one of the to be outed.
Is he the real deal?
He is a real person, yes. He's a very real deal.
All right. Well, good stuff. So thoughts come, you know, because we haven't talked to our listeners since Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, the cliche is what did we learn from this game?
The Jets stink.
Yeah, we certainly learned that. Yeah.
They're a bunch of ass clowns.
Dude, you know, was it a test for the defense? I don't think so, you know.
Listen, I think any success that the Patriots defense has to be deemed positive because of how badly they've played, even against those teams. The first time around, the Jets moved the ball better, I thought, than they did Thursday night. Now, I thought the Jets still, even early in the game, I thought the Jets moved the ball. They had two long drives that resulted in turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one is on a fourth and inches that you stopped. You know, the turnover was kind of not
right.
Really a turnover. It was a
you
stop.
Had stopped the play. Right.
You stopped the play. So, but I do think that both of those drives are about 60 or 70-yard drives for New York, and that's not what you're looking for. But the plays continue to come, and that's something to get excited about.
Or is it? That's the question on Twitter. I mean, on AskPFW this week. We got a bunch of those. You know, is this fool's gold, and can this not possibly continue when you play good teams in the postseason and blah, blah, blah? So there's some
debate. You know what? We're going to find out very quickly because after Miami, you've got home games, night games against two of the best teams in the NFL.
Yep.
And if they can do it against those teams, then I think the answer is yes. If they can't,
especially Houston, because there's always a chance that Kaepernick, if he's
the
starter,
he could
poop himself. You know, a big game on the road, all that. But Schaub and that offense, you know, he's a veteran. The receivers are veterans.
Oh, yeah.
The running back, it's all veterans.
And they've had a couple of close games, overtime games lately, and so they're looking to try to maybe play a little bit more of a complete game. I know it's going to be tough on the road, possibly in the cold, and elements could be a factor. So that's something to keep in mind, too. But I think we said this when the schedule came out and talked about it all through the summer. These two games, Houston, San Fran, those back-to-back games, are going to be the test of the regular season for New England.
Yeah, it's going to be a test.
Both sides of the ball, though,
because both
of these teams have solid defenses that could potentially limit what New England does, especially
without
Gronk.
It may not have any playoff implications, but it's going to be a test of your team.
It might have playoff implications, too.
Yeah, it probably will.
They might. In
the
Houston
one, Houston's going to be where it is.
Yeah, but if you get swept, that's bad.
And the Houston one has definite implications. But I agree. I think just the way Eric put it, the regular season test, I think ultimately, unless something out of the ordinary happens, and Andy just kind of touched on it, you get swept or you look bad in both games, I think that can have a lasting impact as you play the last two and go to the playoffs. But
as could the vice versa there. If you sweep them and look really good, that'll have a lasting impact of building confidence.
Yeah, but I still think that, it definitely will build confidence. But, you know, in other words, if they lose to Houston, unless they just get blasted, which I don't think that's going to happen. I don't have any more or less faith heading into a playoff game. Same if they beat Houston. You know, it's Houston's third straight road game will be that Monday night game.
Yeah.
So if the Patriots end up blasting, right now they're really banged up on defense. They're missing some of their key players. I think that Houston would still have an opportunity to be a formidable opponent in a potential AFC Championship rematch. So I do think it's a regular season test. But
what would be worse, getting blasted by Houston or losing to the Jaguars?
If I had to pick one of those games, I have to lose a game.
Yeah.
I'd rather lose to the Jaguars.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can chalk that up. I fell in a trap.
Exactly.
Coming off of two big games against the big boys, I was focused and ready, and I won.
Okay.
If I have to lose a game,
I still think though
I'll go with the embarrassment of losing to the Jags.
I still think Houston is the number one seed. They're going to end up being the number one seed in the playoffs. So I think New England is fighting with Baltimore for that number two. I don't see Houston losing enough games for New England to overtake them.
Houston is really
they tried.
They have tried. They've given them a chance.
So it's funny how you look at that. Do you either say they're a good team and that's what good teams do? They get past their hiccups and still win.
Mm.
Or do you say they're
not
playing very well and they're due to keep losing?
Yeah.
See, I look
sooner
at
or later,
it,
it's going to bite them in the ass.
I look at it the former, the same way I looked at it with the Patriots. When the Patriots were going down to the last play of the game here in Foxborough against Buffalo, good teams find a way to win that game. The first Jets game in the overtime. You know, yeah, you had kind of a bad feeling about it. Jeez, do we really have to go at home? We had to go to overtime with the Jets, and, you know, with 30 seconds left, we were losing and blah, blah, blah. Good teams find a way to win those games.
But for whatever it's worth, the Patriots are different. They're established. It's Brady. It's Belichick. The Texans still aren't established, even though it feels like they've been good for a while and building and Schaub and this whole they're not really established. You know, it fell apart last year because of injuries, and it wasn't even Schaub and company. Yeah. And then
and
this year,
injuries now. What I like about what Houston has done is they've – I kind of had my doubts about Houston because I thought they were one of those teams that only had one way to win. I thought they play really good defense. They keep it close to the vest. They run Arian Foster. They get a lead. They're able to do that little play action misdirection that I think Schaub does better than anyone. You know, that waggle action one way and a little half boot. How many times they hit Owen Daniels for about a 40-yard play and he's all by himself? You can't do all that stuff when you're behind as much because that play action's not going to work as well.
Sure.
I thought they only had one way to win. And now the last couple of weeks they've had big deficits on the road. Yeah. Well, this one on the road, the previous one at home, against a bad team, admittedly, in Jacksonville. And they found a way to come back and win.
Well, I
throwing for 500 yards and Andre Johnson all of a sudden turned into an animal.
I said on Thursday after they beat the Lions, I said this is the type of game that first-time Super Bowl teams win in their regular season. It's when they look back at the crazy things that happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and no doubt about it, they got the huge break.
You know,
that's
the kind
game.
Of games that, like the Patriots won in 2001
when
Buffalo, with David Patton with his head.
Right.
You know, this one with that crazy, you know,
but,
rule.
The Baltimore game, that's another one, the Baltimore-San Diego game. That was another game that
Same
you look at the
game.
Schedule and you think, all right, this is one, if New England is going to catch up for that bye, they need Baltimore to lose a game like that. And they were in prime position to lose a game. Fourth and 29.
Yep.
They throw a little dump pass and they get the first down, which was, again, a little questionable because they had to review the spot with his knee and everything. But Baltimore can look back later and say, boy, you know, that was a turning point game for them, too.
But I would say the same about them. They have also failed to establish, and a lot of it's the quarterbacks. Schaub, Flacco, are they elite? You know, do they pull out the plays they need at the end or. You know, do they get lucky by dumping the ball off and the guy turns it into a play? You know, it's one of those things. Until you're established, you're not yet established.
I told you Monday morning, I'm off Flacco. You can't check down on 4th and 29. I can't take away the fact that it worked. It was an amazing play by Ray Rice, but you can't do. You just can't.
Hey, you got to let your playmakers make plays,
Paul.
You can't
do it. 3rd and 29, I have no problem with that.
I forgot
now you're saying maybe I can get 15 and set up a manageable fourth down.
I forgot who it was on ESPN that was they were doing the highlights and they said, "Yeah, and look at the confidence that Flacco has in going to Ray Rice. How the hell did he know he was going to pick up 30 yards?
Well, that's what great quarterbacks do."
And I told you, I went on a rant yesterday with Andy and Fred, Marshall Faulk, who is notorious in his Patriots hate. They're on NFL Network. I'm watching these guys talk about the play, and Michael Irvin and Dion are sort of criticizing Flacco. And Marshall Faulk interrupts and says, Now, wait a minute. Would we not, if this were Tom Brady checking down and making that play, would we not be praising Tom Brady in unison? They were all like, no, we wouldn't. That's ridiculous. And they wouldn't. They wouldn't praise a quarterback for a play like that, being on the quarterback. That was all Ray Rice. Nothing to do with Joe Flacco. I mean, he made some big throws in that game. He made some big throws in overtime. A 3rd and 10 to Torrey Smith, that was unbelievable. But that play, I mean, they shouldn't have had that opportunity. They should have lost because you shouldn't allow a guy to run 20. He basically ran 25 yards after the catch when 24 would have ended the game.
I wonder though,
what was the deal there? Was everyone else just so deep there was just no one there?
They were back, but
he made an unbelievable.
He made a
cut.
Nice cut.
He came up the sideline and got about 10 yards. You know, that kind of buffer where all the defensive – now everybody comes, and all of a sudden it was like a punt return.
Yeah, three guys
it like
converged.
It's like the picket fence set up, and he came back across the field.
And then they trip over each other, and there goes three guys.
And Anquan Boldin made an unbelievable block on Eric Weddle, which, you know,
it could have been a block in the back.
It was close. It was close, and he lowered his lights with, man, he was out.
And even then, it looked like Rice's knee might have touched even before he got the –
oh,
like
he definitely
it was very, very close.
He definitely got the first down.
No, I know, but it was so close.
They actually went to review. This is another thing. You know, you talk about the rules that you hate. Weddle got hurt in the play.
On that block?
Down. Yeah. So he was down for a long time. So they're tending to him for like what seems like 2 minutes. All of a sudden, the referee leaves the field and goes and reviews the play because they buzzed down. If he doesn't get hurt, there's no way they review the spot. And they move the ball back a half a yard. But he still had the first down by like almost a full yard. He got the first down easy.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, had that been the difference, an injury is the difference between getting a replay in and respotting the ball. That's this stuff that goes on like that all the time that I think they need to.
That just gave me a dumb question. You know the new rule that if a helmet pops off, the play ends? What if Rice had, like, broken a tackle and his helmet popped off, like, 20 yards into the
first down?
And he was in the clear?
Yeah. The game? Yeah, he was going to get it. Like, everyone knows he was going to get the first down. But the rule says you blow the, like...
I agree with that rule.
Does the game end?
That's an equipment, you know, that... It's either on the player or the equipment manager to make sure these things fit right. And
Andy and I talk about that.
I see too many in the Patriots game. I think at least four different times helmets popped off. I think Curley twice.
Curley, yeah.
But a Patriot had his helmet knocked off. These guys, I don't know what's going on with these helmets being knocked off. Maybe
they don't fit.
I think they're doing it on purpose so that if a guy hits me in the helmet, it's more likely to come off and I'll get the flag. You know, I think they do it on purpose. So if they do get hit in the helmet, it'll call attention to the ref.
But, like, I mean, I think Wes Welker is one of the headiest players in the world. And if that were some sort of a thing they do in the NFL, he does the opposite. His helmet is as tight. He even looks like he has, like, a funny face because he pulls his chin up.
He always has the Manning red mark.
The Manning look. Those guys
that
their helmet's so tight.
Right.
So I don't think that's – I think these guys are just punks and they want it to fit nice and loose and comfortable. You know, one guy on our team. I think Aaron Hernandez wants to take his helmet off at all possible times.
Oh,
wants it as loose as possible.
I don't
wants to be able to remove
it. I don't think he would wear a helmet if he
right.
if he had the choice.
Like some helmets, you see guys they have to pull it off and get it out over the years. Some of these guys, it's like a little flick and it comes off.
Is that how you had to take your helmet off when you played?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
His is for different reasons.
How many times have you seen an NFL player grab his face mask with one hand and take his helmet off?
But you also,
I could never do that if I had a vice.
You got tested by the train. Like they would fit it and they would jiggle it and pull it. They would inflate a little extra air if it wasn't tight. I'm guessing that doesn't happen anymore. It's all up to personal preference of the player.
Yeah. It's not good.
No, and you know, don't tell me that doesn't have something to do with head injuries, loose fitting helmets.
I like the guy that, you know, he gets hit in the helmet and he's running down the field with the helmet sideways. How does that happen?
Well, that's a good point though. You wonder how much of that contributes to all the concussions we've been seeing lately, because I know we didn't know about it and hear about it as much in, you know, the past generation of the NFL. But they also took the equipment more seriously back then. You know, you had those big linebacker neck brace things. You had the huge pads. You had the helmets that actually looked like they were tight fitting. Lately, it's been more of like a fashion statement for players to, you know, put a chin strap down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything about the equipment is more
fashionable
than it is functional.
Right down to, you know, not wanting to wear pads and anything.
Exactly. So you wonder if that has anything to do with this rash of
concussions.
I
think it all contributes. I even get annoyed, you know, Brett Favre, you know, every play.
Oh, he
every
used
play,
to piss me off.
The chin strap comes out. You know, and Rodgers does
just
the thing
leave
now,
it on.
Or he buttons it up.
Leave it alone.
I never unsnap my chin strap on the field, I don't think, in
Did you ever snap it to go on the
10 field? Years of football.
Mine, it was so
right
hard to get
that.
It snapped once I got it there. I didn't want to take it
did
off.
Did your coach go to track you down to get you to come back to the team?
No.
Okay.
Because he would not have.
Especially when my fingers were cold. The last thing I wanted to do was
the Favre thing used to piss me off to no end because he would do it even before the play was over.
And they all have the single.
He would hand off and he would just like,
I just, you know.
I'd be like, knock it off.
You're on the football field for a short period of time. Why do you have to?
To be fair, you're not allowed to hit quarterbacks, so do they really need a helmet?
Yeah, but what if there's a turnover and he has to go and make a tackle?
He won't.
He never thought of that, did he?
Well, you're not allowed to block him either now. That's a new rule. You can't block him if he's going to make a tackle. You've got to let him make the tackle.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Tiffany in Wisconsin. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, everybody.
How you
Hi,
doing,
Tim,
girl?
Hey. I'm better.
Okay. Better?
You know I had a rough 2012.
What happened? No.
Well, that event in February.
Oh, the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Still not over
Thanks
that, huh?
Thanks a lot, Andy.
That was Eric.
Oh, thanks, Eric. And then I like soccer, and the Germans lost in Euro 2012, and then Bayern Munich lost.
Why
okay,
are you
for, and you're really upset about
why
that?
Why are you rooting for Germany?
She if she's a fan of Germany and
I
the
like
Germans.
German football.
She likes German football.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
So yeah, so finally I got into.
So Vollmer's like the perfect guy for you.
Who?
Sebastian Vollmer.
Oh.
Or
so I get back into, you know, the Patriots slowly, and then they lose to the Ravens. And then I'm like, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. So then I pay attention to politics.
Let me guess, you backed Romney, and he lost, and I'm done with him.
Yeah.
Right, because Paul Ryan, he's from Wisconsin.
So you are cut and dry. No. You do not accept losing. As soon as someone loses for you, they're out.
That's I can't I'm such a horrible winner. I'm a worse loser. So then I'm watching the Detroit game. Now I got to ask you honestly, if that were the Patriots, if that was Ridley, who was down technically, and then he was allowed to keep going and make a touchdown, what an outcry would it have been in the United States if the Patriots were awarded a touchdown over that?
I think there was an outcry yeah. anyway.
Yeah, yeah, it might have been bigger because the Patriots are a more glamour team.
If that would have happened to the Patriots, it would have been, oh, my God, look at this. It's Spygate. I'm telling you.
I don't know about that, but I think, yes, in general, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Giants, it would have been a bigger deal.
That's silly. Yeah. That would never happen to the Patriots.
No.
Tiffany,
you don't know. The refs are against us, so they would never give us that benefit. They would have called Ridley down.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The refs are
don't do that.
The refs
I
are against
the
us.
I get the idea that the refs like us.
No. They're against
really?
Us. Any opportunity.
You're right, Tiff.
Any opportunity they can, they screw us.
What is it, Paul?
We're just so good, we don't
another
give
Another Notre Dame Saturday.
Notre Dame Saturday here at Gillette Stadium.
I'm so lost. I always think that, especially that whoever the head referee was in the Thursday night game. What's his name? The black guy.
Mike Carey?
Yes.
That's not
he
his name.
He seems to have a relationship with Belichick to me.
They all do.
Well, they all do.
We haven't had a good call.
No, and I mean they all by all the coaches and the especially the coaches that have been around for a few years. They know the referees. They talk to them a lot. And I joke around about it, but I think that Andy Reid or Mike Tomlin, these guys, they talk to the refs just as much as Belichick does. They have a relationship with them. Ed Hockley is talking to everybody all the time. He'll talk to anybody who'll listen.
Yeah.
Here's the two things I wanted to ask you guys. The first one was the Sunday night game with the Packers and the Giants. In my opinion, the Giants are the best team in the NFL. I want to say we are, but I'm not very sure about our defense. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, how did the Packers beat the Texans? And did anybody? Because I didn't. I don't watch the. I don't like the Packers at all. I didn't watch the game. How did the Texans lose by that many points against the Packers if they're supposed to be the best team in the league? I'm not. I mean, are the Texans for real? And number two, I think I see the Giants going back to the Super Bowl.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a good question. I thought about that myself. How did Green Bay beat the Texans? And as we know, in the NFL, a lot of it is matchups. Certain teams match up well against the other teams. And I was thinking to myself, if Green Bay does, in fact, match up well against the Texans, and the Texans had so much trouble stopping Aaron Rodgers, I was thinking maybe that's hopeful for the Patriots. Because maybe they'll have that same type of trouble against the Patriots' offense.
Because that's the current book, is people are saying that the Texans have trouble if you can spread it out and throw on them, like the Packers.
And
like
conversely,
because it hurts their pressure.
And why did the Giants do so well against the Packers? I think the Giants are uniquely set up to beat good quarterbacks because of the pressure that they can get. And I think that it showed against Green Bay. It's shown against the Patriots. They match up well there.
I did watch a lot of the Sunday night game that Green Bay beat Houston, and I thought that Aaron Rodgers played an absolute perfect football game. I don't think you can play any better. I'm going to stand by it, Andy. I don't think you can play any better than Aaron Rodgers played that night. He threw a number of passes to well-covered receivers that just were in a spot. What is all this noise? Anybody getting feedback in the headphones?
It just started.
Yes. My guess is it's Eric because it's usually Eric. Turn your mic off.
He threw a number of passes to well-covered receivers that were still completed.
Eric.
I will agree with Tiff on one thing with the Giants, and there's a long way to go.
Right.
I think the Giants, when the Giants play their best, I think the Giants are the best team in football. Now, they haven't been able to play their best until January and February. But they,
good time to play your best.
Well, I know, but
they, and that might not matter because they might not be playing their best when it counts. And I agree with Andy about the matchups. Matchups matter a lot, and I agree with the theory that teams that can spread it out give Houston problems in the passing game because their pressure is so much a part of what they do. But to me, it's about how the teams play that night. In other words, if Houston and Green Bay were playing again tomorrow, I'm not sure the outcome would be this. I'm not sure I would expect a similar outcome as the first time around.
Right.
I think that was a game a single entity in and of itself. But I do think the Giants, when the Giants are playing well, I think the Giants are very good because of that relentless pressure. They have some balance.
Yeah.
They have balance on offense and defense, and when they run the ball a little bit, like they did against the Packers the other night, they didn't run it great, but, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw looked pretty good. Now, they lost the other kid to a broken leg. I don't know how that'll affect them, Andre Brown. But I think the Giants are one of those teams, when they play really well, they can beat you. And it doesn't matter what you do, they can beat you.
Thanks for the call, Tiff. Let's go to Orlando, who's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
I love it, baby. I love it. Can you believe that beatdown we put on those clowns in New York, man?
I love it, yeah. I had the same reaction, laughing like you are.
Oh, my God. I literally had to get up and go to the bathroom for a sec, came back, and they were already scoring like two TDs. I was like, what did I miss? What happened?
I know. When Sanchez ran into Moore's rear end, the press box, everybody just erupted in laughter.
Because it was hilarious.
I saw it, and I'm like it happened so fast, and I saw him, like, drop, and I'm looking, like, wait, there's no white shirt around him. I thought somebody had hit, you know, like one of us had hit him, but I'm looking, there's no white shirt around him.
No, it looks exactly like when you slide for a first down and the linebacker says, damn it, I'm hitting you anyway.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, except it was his guard's ass.
Right. I was expecting Benny Hill
Moore should
music.
Have been flagged for hitting a sliding quarterback.
Yeah, I wanted the Benny Hill music.
But you know what? As much as you guys loved it, when they cut to Rex Ryan, I think it was after the third touchdown, maybe the second.
He was giving up, right?
Staring at the ground and just like, it's like he didn't, like, you freaking, somebody pinch me, wake me up, something. You know, he had the exact opposite end of the spectrum. Lack of emotion and just disbelief of what was going on.
Like the fans.
Yeah.
Like the fans at MetLife.
Yeah.
That was
at least they could
that
leave.
Was perfect. The Benny Hill music that would have went so that just it couldn't have gotten any. That should have been the soundtrack to the entire game.
Well, you certainly could have made a whole, you know, those old school Steve Sable football follies that you got with Sports Illustrated.
And you speeded
there
up.
Were like three or four of them in that game.
Balls popping up.
The Edelman one. You know, the perfect. I kept telling Paul the perfect hook and ladder. You could practice that forever, trying to do a hook and ladder and not get the perfect timing that you got on that play.
And then the other one on the fourth and inches play where the ball just pops out in the air, it goes like five yards down.
There you go. There you go.
Benny Hill.
I hear it. That music is hilarious, man. Hey, listen, guys, one more thing, man. What do you guys think about that whole fireman head thing, him quitting? How bad must the Jets be that this guy, you know what I mean, like quits? Mr. Jet, supposedly.
Well, he quit because he claims he was getting into too many confrontations with other Jets fans about his wearing the Sanchez jersey.
Right, so put on another jersey.
No. Is this all right?
We have our answer. It's Paul.
All right? It was the whole thing with the Sanchez jersey is not about the fact that he has a Sanchez jersey on. It's because they think he wears it because he's on the payroll and then he's trying to carry the Jets water.
Right.
That's why he's getting into fights. They're fighting with him, saying, "You know, you're not one of us anymore. You're one of them." That's the whole thing.
What's them? Fans?
No, the organization. And you're ignoring the fact that the guy can't play, and because you're trying to promote what they want you to do.
So like Fred said, the answer is wear another jersey.
It's all about the little kids.
Right.
It's all about the kids. Right. I don't want the little kids to know. You know.
Yeah, but guys, think about it, though. Here's this guy I think the guy's an idiot. You know, I'm not a fan of his at all. He's a dope. But here's a guy who all he's basically doing is trying to support the Jets, support, you know, the team. And, you know, he's said on multiple occasions he's not on the payroll. So the fans, who are supposed to be fans of the Jets, are turning on him. It's like, it's like they eat their own over there.
Orlando, why do you think he's a joke? Let's say he were a Patriots fan and he were doing PATS, Pats. Would you still think he's a joke?
No, he can't. I met him once at the ESPNville in New York. Really briefly. He was in the room with like Joe Namath, and it was like during one of the drafts. The draft where we got Wilfork.
Okay.
He was there, And just the way he kind of carried himself, just kind of arrogant, like.
Okay, yeah, not just because he not just because he's a Jets fan.
No, he has
he's a scumbag anyway because he's a Jets fan. But
yeah,
you know, he just the way he kind of carried himself. I mean, I'm not saying he's a horrible guy. I think he just.
Hey, I'm with you, Orlando. You don't have to backtrack. I think it's kind of sad that a grown man. Is
he definitely has
that much
bought
into
this thing that I am who I am.
You know, I don't think it's a bad chant. The whole JETS. You know, thing. But the fact that a grown man is tied to something like this, to me, is kind of sad. I think, you know, what? Grow up.
Well, it's like, hey, look, you know, you're not Jet fan number one. You know, there are a lot of other Jet fans, too. But it's just like kind of the way he carried himself. It's like, I don't blame people for thinking that he was on the payroll. Because, if you saw him, you know, talking to him, you would think he was.
Plus, and like, he was on the field and stuff.
Well, they did a video with him. With the Soprano song.
I mean, you can see how it got blurred.
Yeah. Which was awesome.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you're a scumbag. I don't care. Scooby Jacks, money, burning hell for all I care.
I'm with you, Orlando.
All right.
There you go. I miss you. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Orlando.
Oh, we should have asked him.
You got something, Kevin?
No, I think it sounds better now.
Yeah, oh, dude, I think it was when I turned the mic. I think it might have been my mic.
We have to look at all the connections.
By the way, in 2010, probably the only thing that I've done well here was get Fireman Ed kicked off the field after they beat us in 2010.
You got him kicked off the field?
Yeah,
what happened?
He came on the field after the Jets won that playoff game.
So we're the anti-Yankees, is what, you know, we're poor losers.
Yankees
let the Red Sox fans take over Yankee Stadium.
He was like,
we kicked Fireman Ed off.
Incognito with the hoodie, and I went over to Briggs and was like, hey, that's Fireman Ed. 2 seconds later, he was being escorted out.
That's a story I wish I didn't hear.
Good, Kevin. All right. One more call, and then we're going to take a break. Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
How's those unders treating you?
Yeah, no, not too well for any of us. However, I think on the five, three, which isn't too shabby, I think Orlando needs to lay off the cigarettes a little bit. Is that one of those, like, what they call smoker's laugh?
I liked it. It's probably not good for his health, but I liked it.
Right on. Anyway, a Fireman Ed, he's like, Fireman Ed, I think, has had some knee problems. I think he had, like, a knee reconstruction, so he's been, like, hurt a little bit. But I give the guy credit. I mean, he's a signature fan of the team. I mean, you think Barrel Man isn't cool back in the day, Paul, for Denver?
I can answer that for him.
No.
The only thing he thinks is if there were a Northeastern fan who was well-known.
Husky guy.
Well, that's Paul.
In more ways than one.
I kind of agree
with Orlando.
I think that Fireman Ed was cool.
I like it.
Not him. I think the chant and the idea of this guy standing up and
leading
70,000 people in unison was very, very cool.
You know what would have been really cool?
Now I'm with Fred.
What I think is ridiculous is him quitting now. I think that is just absolutely ridiculous.
You know what also might have been cooler?
I wouldn't want him to be a fireman in my neighborhood if I had a fire.
If the Jets tried to arrange it somehow so that, you know, like a contest or something, be the Jets fan, the Jets chant leader for this game. Like, have a different Jets fan do the chant.
Yeah, that's not right. He started it, right?
Did he start it?
I don't know. I think he did.
Did he really?
Yeah. It's not so much. Like, I think the chant is
I thought
great.
The chant came before him.
I think the crowd, answer Jeff's question, the crowd at Mile High with the orange, I think that's great.
Dog pound with the
and all this stuff. But I just think it's kind of sad when one guy takes on this larger-than-life persona that he's sort of identified with being this guy. Like, I don't have any problem with, you know, whooping it up in the crowd and doing the JETS. I told you, I've been to games at the Meadowlands back in the day before I worked here as a visiting fan, and literally that's all you could hear for like an hour after the game was that would be ringing in your ears.
You run the risk as a team when one fan gets that much kind of notoriety and power because things can happen. What if he does something like this? It makes you look bad.
Well, there was a bad one in Sacramento for the Kings. They had a huge feud that, like, divided the fan base because they had one of these guys. And they got mad because he was actually selling himself as, like, the number one fan. You could rent him to come to your parties and different. And they got mad at that because he was now monetizing this thing. And they banned him, and it became this whole controversy.
Well, now that Fireman Ed has quit, maybe the Jets should consider doing, you know, a different fan each game. force.
I don't. Yeah,
part of what makes it good is that it's organic.
You cannot force it.
I actually think it's cool because it goes in line with my whole political and religious beliefs. I think it's so cool that he had that much faith. Now you could call him a loser. You could call, too much of his time and is dedicated to that. But at least he had something that that was pretty cool.
Right. Gave him purpose.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He's retired.
Maybe if Paul became Northeastern's signature fan, he could borrow Fred's onesie wrestling outfit.
Absolutely.
He doesn't have to become. He is.
He is. Yeah.
Prove how husky he really is.
Yeah, but, it'd be like if I walked around. I mean, obviously it's not the same thing because it's such a low level. But
422 people saw.
But if I carried myself, I'm that guy. I sort of get the crowd
right.
Going at Matthews Arena. That's the part that I think is embarrassing for the Jets guy, I don't have a problem with the Jets
crowd.
Chant. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with the Jets chant
My
itself.
Brother
I agree with Fred.
And father.
I agree with the way Fred described it. I'm going to ignore the sophomoric humor that's going on.
Unfortunately, Will and TJ.
But you kind of treat the Huskies the way the Jets fans treat their team. When things are going bad,
I'm not a blind homer. You are right.
No, you're the other end of that.
Right. You get like.
Until they get rid of that coach, I'll never step
in
that
field. I'm going to boycott this. I'm going to boycott that.
That happened back in the late 80s with football. I did decide I would never go to a game until they fired the football coach.
You put your pride ahead of the team.
Because I want a good product.
And there's probably some similarities between lower level, never win anything, always trying to be something of the Jets and the Huskies.
The Jets should move to L.A. That's the best thing for everybody.
All right, Jeff, we haven't let you talk. What's up?
Yeah, doesn't Paul benefit financially from that Northeastern thing in some way?
No.
Eventually he will when his kids get old enough to go to college.
I used to. I don't anymore. He's very modest.
You're
now.
Lining this up for full scholarship.
We used to make a significant amount of money, my brother and I, but not anymore.
Significant?
Wow. Well, $20,000 I thought was significant.
Wait a minute.
What is the matter with that?
I don't know. I just think it's weird to throw specific numbers around.
I'm also stunned by the amount.
Yeah.
Then the athletic director left.
The one that tuition's so high.
The athletic director left, and a new guy came in. He stuck with us for a while, and then he pulled the plug.
Yeah.
So now we just make money off a message board, which is modest.
I love it. One question.
$150.
Probably not more than $1,000.
Speaking of total domination, like the New England dominated the Jets, you saw the Packers get crushed by the Giants from start to finish. When, aside from that Ravens playoff game, is like the last time the Patriots were dominated from gun to gun?
Cleveland.
In a playoff game or in a game? Any game.
Any game.
Oh, the Cleveland 2010.
Probably the Cleveland game in 2010.
Debacle. Yeah.
I mean, I think that...
Any others aside from Cleveland and Baltimore playoff game in, say, recent memory?
Yeah, see, I think there's different definitions, but I
right.
thought the Jets completely
I was gonna
say the Jets
utterly playoff game.
Completely yeah. and utterly dominated the way that game was played
yeah.
from gun to gun.
I was
now the
say,
score yeah. wasn't, like the Giants 38-10 the other
night. And you could even say the Pittsburgh game
in the Pittsburgh game last year was
it ended up being an 8-point game or
yeah.
something like that.
Oh,
but
yeah, right.
the Patriots just never seemed to have a shot.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree with you.
The
that
one
was another
game,
game,
Andy. What do you want me to say?
But to Jeff's point, that's part of what makes the Patriots so good is that even when they're getting their clock's cleaned. They find a way to stick around.
Yep.
And I think that's what I kind of saw with Houston in the last two games. They had no business being within striking distance of either one of those games, but they found a way, and they stuck around, and then they found a way to win it at the end.
Yeah, right. I think it's going to be kind of warm. Is it going to be mild Sunday, like 50 degrees I saw somewhere?
I don't know.
Well, this week we're playing Miami.
Playing Miami, so.
In Miami.
It's going to be 75 and sunny.
Yeah. Maybe wet if those sprinkles come on again.
Right.
Oh, that was hilarious.
All right, Jeff.
Show me
the
cheerleaders
call. Jeff
then.
In Vegas. Time for us to take a break. Who's lunch from today?
James.
James Pettigrew, the world's most interesting Patriots fan. Thank you, James, as always. Let's take a quick break. We have more calls and a lot of emails to do when we come back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here at PFW in progress, web radio at patriots.com. Terry in D.C. writes in, I'm proud to write that after years of benefiting from your excellent and at times prescient, as Paul was today, analysis on PFW in progress, patriots.com, and Kirschwords, I have finally subscribed to the paper that makes the podcast possible. All right, thank you. Thank you very much. I got an iPad over Thanksgiving break, and my first purchase was Patriots Football Daily. It looks great. I really appreciate having the archive with scans of old papers. Any plans to go back further into the PFW vaults and give access to even earlier issues? Sounds like scanning the archives could be a good intern job, maybe something for Kevin.
I don't know about good.
It's great to be a Patriot fan this week as far as regular season games go. Humiliating the Jets, watching them self-destruct in front of their home crowd and a national audience is as good as it gets. Well, thank you, Terry.
That was like Patriots porn.
Yep.
watching them fall apart like that.
I know.
Seriously, if you're like a if you are the fireman Ed of the Patriots,
I know I had a little wood head in my pants
on Thanksgiving night against your bitter rival. I mean, how could it be better? Kevin probably didn't even sleep that night. He was so excited.
But that
because he's kind of
I'm just a nicer
Kevin's
person
kind of
than
the fireman
you.
Ed.
But all I thought of was poor Jets fans. And literally, like, it's this big holiday game.
Oh, I
game.
Don't. You know why? Because they've why? Never won anything since 1969, and they act like they own everything and that they're this and that. And even
I mean, I guess I don't know all these things, but I was just thinking, like, there's some
the
guy
coach, they acted that way.
Who bought a $175 ticket and was like, you know what? This is really cool. Patriots-Jets, primetime, Thanksgiving. And then it just...
I'll tell you who I feel bad for in those.
You're going home for
you're
pumpkin pie at halftime.
The New York, New Jersey Red Bulls.
But I don't feel... I don't even know if I can speak. I'm not going to take it as far as
Andy. How things have changed around here. You win for a decade, and your whole perspective changes.
No, but, you know, never mind. I feel bad. Like, whenever I see, like, the father with the kid, like you just said, the $175, if you see, like, the father with, like, his, you know, a 12-year-old kid in the stands, I always feel bad for that. I feel bad for the kid and the father. When you know when they lose,
now Fred would say it's child abuse.
Now,
he's making the kids a Jets fan.
Child abuse, bringing him up in that area of the world, it's just terrible. It's a bad parenting decision.
Wait a minute, aren't you from that area of the world?
And I got out.
Isn't that where you grew up? So you were abused as a child.
I lived in New Jersey from second grade through seventh grade.
So you were abused as a child.
Yes, I was, and we moved out.
And isn't your grandmother still there, or was there? Didn't you say something about
Rhode Island?
Oh yeah, that's near him. Yeah.
So I understand Andy's point.
Oh yeah, I got a rant about your state, by the way.
I don't look at the
about
whole
what?
Way, though.
A tree,
like
or lack thereof.
Oh, the Chafee thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No tree at all?
I know.
What a dink. Did he just get reelected? Do you people vote for him?
Don't say
you
people.
How does a dink like that stay in office?
Don't say you people.
To clarify, Rhode Island is not having a tree in their capital.
I think that's ridiculous.
He wasn't up for reelection this year,
anyway,
though.
I don't want to get into that whole discussion. But, Paul, did you finish what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Guys, I haven't slept since. I mean, you couldn't get any better. And I was with members of my family who I absolutely hate. And they absolutely hate that I love the Patriots. And I just love to rub it in with a sports.
Oh, it was great.
Well, that was the ultimate rub-in game. Well, happy Thanksgiving, hey, Christian?
It really was like...
food, family, and football,
right,
baby.
It really was like a party. From that second quarter on, it was like a party if you were a Patriots fan.
That's the second game in a row at that stadium that we've been to that has turned into like a joke. Because remember that last preseason game against the Giants was just a debacle.
Yep.
And now this one, too. The whole press box was just kind of in a giddy mood.
Yeah. And, you know, like Paul said at the beginning that, you know, if you had said, hey, if you were going to get three turnovers and score 21 points in 52 seconds, my hat's off to you. The fact that they had the ball for, I think it was 2 minutes and 14 seconds in the second quarter and scored 35 points was just amazing. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I saw that. I'm pretty sure I looked it up after the game. You know, I don't know if you saw. There was a
that right?
Chip Kelly rant recent weeks. Somebody asked about time of possession. And the Patriots, in this five-game winning streak, have lost time of possession in every single game.
Certainly
be, and Chip Kelly, we know, was the some sort
right.
of consultant.
They score so fast.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a little different when you're actually scoring fast like they do on offense as compared to, you know, returns and all these things where you can just, if you're Brady, you yawn and relax.
Right.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And the only reason I really watched the second half was just for the crowd shots and that old guy sitting there with the jet on his head.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
it was great. I mean,
you guys are all bad people.
His girlfriend, and he just had this look on his face, like, "Why are we still here?"
No, it's just a funny look that he has. He's got this green jet on the top of a hat. It's just
well, who
silly.
Was the, someone was telling me? It might have been you, Eric. There was a guy dressed up as a turkey. Like swearing at the Jets players as they came.
There was
off.
A woman dressed as a turkey.
So this guy's in full turkey regalia, like just swearing it up, you know, at the Jets players. It was just such an oxy, you know.
I know, right?
Now that is stupid.
Yeah.
I'm okay with a guy passionate for his team wearing a jersey and a hat that has, but why are you dressing like a turkey?
Dress like a turkey.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving. Yeah, you're an idiot.
And he's cussing out the Jets.
Wait a minute. It's traditional for people to dress up
as a turkey? Well, never.
People dress up as Santa Claus around Christmas time.
Very few do, and there's a reason for
that.
Not
very
few
do.
To bring joy to the children.
Lots of people dress up as Santa Claus.
To bring joy to the children.
At NFL games.
Why would you go as a... Yeah,
again,
and I think that's stupid, too.
To the children.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
That's stupid.
Well, that's what this guy did. He went to an NFL game.
That is much stupider, dorkier, gayer than dressing up as a fireman and leading a chant and being so impassioned about your team. What are you impassioned about, turkeys?
I also don't think that
you're just trying
general,
to get on camera and be a freak.
I don't think in general anybody
maybe.
Goes
that's
on.
That's why they do it.
I don't think a lot of people dress up as turkeys on Thanksgiving.
No.
In general.
Whereas they're all just trying to get on camera.
But right. A lot of people do the Santa Claus thing.
That's what I get on camera.
But
there's no doubt in my mind.
Football games, I'm saying, you know.
No, they don't.
You don't have
how many people walk around streets wearing Santa Claus?
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that they walk around the street all day. But
if you dress
up
as a Santa, you may go to a football game because you want to get on camera. Otherwise, you're probably going to a party or something where you're playing Santa.
Yeah.
You're like
yeah.
being a
But
a
I don't
thing.
Think anybody ever puts a turkey outfit on Thanksgiving.
Unless you want to get on TV.
You know,
and you're a loser.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. It is.
I mean, do you ever go to a Red Sox game and see someone dressed as the Easter Bunny on Easter Sunday? No.
No, but that's a separate issue. I saw the Guardians this weekend, and the Easter Bunny's not happy about that. He doesn't get the respect he deserves.
Okay.
What?
The Rise of the Guardians. Very good
lack
movie.
Of respect.
All right, Christian.
All
right.
I know you're still there.
Yeah, we're not letting our callers do much talking today.
Really, when you call this show, you just get to listen live on the phone more so than actually talk.
And I thought we were going to break out into a full-fledged argument about dressing up. That would have been no. yet another tangent that we have never gone out on that, you know, we could
unprecedented.
Cross off our bucket list.
Do you have a Northeastern jersey?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of jersey?
Oh,
like
yeah.
a sweatshirt?
Oh, yeah.
Or like
a hockey
uniform.
Sweater? No, I mean more of like a jersey.
No. I have sweatshirts, but I don't have like a...
It surprises me.
Let me tell you something. He's got his wardrobes for every season of the year.
No.
So he'll have a hockey skirt.
Oh, yeah.
So you're telling me I can't sit with you on December 4th and enjoy the basketball game? I have to sit on the other side of the arena?
Yeah, you can't sit.
Okay.
In the wait a minute.
In the
you like UMass this week? Because just 2 weeks ago, you were rooting for Harvard to beat them.
Did you not listen? I said I'll be there with my Northeastern regalia on.
Did I miss that part?
Yeah, I said that like last week because I'll be rooting against
you. Said it last week.
I'll be sitting in the dog pound.
In
probably.
The spring, Rich comes over to Paul's house and they clean out the winter stuff and replace it with the spring wardrobe, and then they go
now,
to summer.
I actually don't really have a whole lot of stuff right now. I have my beat-up hat that I wear every day at training.
Shout out to the AD. Yeah. Send me some free stuff.
Well, forget him.
Oh.
He's
boycotting him.
That ain't happening. We're close. We're close to quitting until he quits.
Isn't this Reggie Roby?
Peter Roby.
You're going to pull a Fireman Ed?
You're going to write
close.
An article in
We're
the
close.
In the
He's
newspaper?
He single-handedly destroyed the hockey program.
He's single-handedly.
He ran off the old hockey coach who had them, you know, on the right track and in the NCAAs, and now, you know, you guys don't need to hear this, but
nope,
no one does.
We really don't.
But yeah, basketball, UMass next week.
Steve writes in, gentlemen of Patriots Radio, it has been a long time coming, but at last we appear to have a secondary that can actually stop the big play attempt downfield that has been our Super Bowl kryptonite. Losing Gronk still had me shaking my head because it was in my mind as an unnecessary loss. However, because of the Patriots' depth and ability to morph players into what they need when they need it, see Troy every down Brown, and I only catch touchdown Sebastian Vollmer, that concern was short-lived. Now, about the Patriots against the Jets, this game for me was reminiscent of watching a Mike Tyson fight in his earlier days. You didn't know exactly when it would happen, but you knew his opponent would be knocked out.
Wow, have our fans really turned the page? I mean,
it
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I know.
They were down in the secondary. There was no chance to give up, and now it's like the Patriots are now Mike Tyson again, knocking people out left and right.
Well, this is kind of like what I talked about. Much like I didn't overreact to every closer than expected win,
right.
I'm not now going to overreact to taking care of business against these same
It was the same season that the Patriots beat the Jets 45-3 that they lost to the same team in the playoffs. So you can't get too high, which is like those Jets fans. That's why they're in such a desperate situation right now, because they get too high. And now they don't know what to do with themselves. And Fireman Ed is quitting. It's because... You know,
I love how Fireman Ed quitting has become.
It is
like
it's
a symbol.
It is a symbol of the state of the Jets. It is,
but it isn't really. If you really take him at his word, it's like a symbol of you know, the society we live in.
Yeah, but that's
that he
yeah,
can't go to games without getting, you know, this would be
but
more
no,
in line with
I,
like
not
the Dodgers
it's not a
down.
Cover, Andy's exactly right. He's still going to be at every game.
Right.
Yeah, if it was a symbol of their futility,
he'd say,
I've had enough.
Right.
He
just
I
doesn't
can't
want
go
to deal with getting
no,
mocked.
No,
and,
if it was just
challenged.
That, then he would take off the Sanchez, put on Bart Scott or some other.
Fred, do you think that they would stop yelling at him?
You don't think that they should still do the Jets chant just because they're losing?
No.
Of course they should.
No,
they
will, but he won't do it because he's tired of getting yelled at for
it. He's basically saying you guys are all bad people.
Right, but
that's what he's saying.
The idea of the chant was having one person orchestrate it.
Yeah, and he's saying let someone else do it so they can yell at him instead of me.
But
I think Andy's right. It's a society thing.
Yeah.
People are just miserable. I mean, can you imagine, like, as much as I made fun of Fireman Ed, can you imagine going up to him and making fun of him?
And
like our
to the point where he's going to quit.
No,
yeah. So it's obviously not just,
our buddy here, Schuster.
Yeah.
Like, we've done stuff with Schuster, right? I think his name is Mike.
Yes, Mike Schuster.
He dresses up. He has all these wild.
Right.
Listen, it's not my thing, but to each his own, all right?
Is that the guy with the enormous hat and
the
face
paint?
Can you imagine going up to him and like, taunting him after the Arizona game?
You commiserate
because they lost. Of course.
Yeah, you commiserate. That's why I'm not buying it, Paul.
Then why is he? Why is he going to continue to go to games then?
I know, but why?
If he was truly done with the Jets, you stop going.
He said I fully intend to continue. So you are saying that the Jets fans are really different than us?
I think the Jets fans are way different than us.
Okay.
You don't? You don't think they're nastier people?
In New York, I think they can be more nastier. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I don't.
I don't think there's anything like a New York Philadelphia crowd. I don't think we even compare.
But to their
in terms
own?
Of na- yes,
like
they
I
eat
can
their
see
own.
If you walked in with a Patriots jersey, but you know, to your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they eat their own. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they're nasty people.
I don't think.
I think that you might have some sort of underlying psychological reason for it with their second class status.
Well, we'll get to
the Giants.
That. Yeah, we'll get to that in the second hour. Oh, we're in the second hour. We'll get to that later.
When are we going to get to the Patriots news? Just out of curiosity.
You're talking about the suspension of Cunningham yesterday. Yes.
Yeah, and Bill said, you know, unfortunately, everybody makes mistakes. It's a league matter out of our hands.
You know what he did say today was neither one of them. He was talking about that and Bolden. Neither one of them needed to happen. They weren't that important. But they were violations, so they are what they are, end quote.
Yeah, I think this whole Adderall thing, you know, and now we don't know because the league is forbidden to say exactly what they were found guilty of, you know, the exact drug. And a lot of these players are saying Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us think that in some cases that's a cover. That's not true because no one can ever contradict them. Adderall seems a lesser thing. It's not really a steroid. It's a stimulant.
Right.
It's an amphetamine like speed, but it helps you focus. So if you have ADD, it actually calms down a kid and allows them.
Right.
If you don't have ADD, it kind of wires you up.
But that's taking it at its face value.
Right.
I have questions, and I don't know who can answer this because it's nobody who's legit. You need like a Victor Conti or somebody who's working for the other side to answer it. And
oh, he's legit.
Well, but he
I
is
know what you're
in
saying.
That industry.
Yeah.
To know the cheats, you need to talk to a cheat.
Right.
You don't really. Talk to a cop. You
couldn't
know,
agree with you more.
And I'd like to know this Adderall thing.
What is Adderall
there's
covering?
There's more to it, yeah. There's something that Adderall is chemically very similar to a drug that they're now taking, and it pops up as Adderall when it's really – there's something more to this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not just these guys needed to study a little bit on a Sunday night, so they took an Adderall.
But I do know that –
but even the stimulant part, they say you get
it.
A better workout, a better –
I'm not buying
it.
I'm
telling
that.
You, this,
I'm
is not a Vogue, this is a Vogue drug. They polled, like, Suffolk University, for example. Over 35% of the kids admitted to taking Adderall.
Yeah,
that means it's probably over 50%.
But it has a distinct advantage there. When you're in college,
right.
All-nighters,
sure.
And you screw up and you got to work 2 days in a row on something, that has a distinct advantage. I don't see the advantage to the stimulant in an NFL player. I think there's more to it than the stimulant.
Well, it might be, but
I don't know
say,
what it is.
But let's just say there isn't. Just for the sake of argument right here, let's rule out that other thing.
Then they're idiots.
Yes.
Well,
that's what I think Belichick is saying.
Idiots.
If you're just taking
especially,
it to,
I, have you seen the
be,
new sign in there?
Right.
Next to the piss room.
Yesterday.
I mean,
yeah.
That is.
Well, I think that's the point Belichick made. Is if you're just taking it to focus more and be better in the film room, and then it's you don't need it. It's stupid.
No, well, see, I think that they're stupid because it's so easy to get permission to use it.
Right. Well,
no, you have to be diagnosed with ADD,
and it's very easy to get it,
especially
by all accounts.
I mean, I mean, in this day and age of they question pain medications distribution, you don't think Dr. Gill or somebody could get a guy, a prescription? And I'm not saying it's illegal, but the proper channels that they'd be able to get prescriptions?
Yeah.
Because I also believe that a lot of these guys probably do have learning disabilities and issues on that end.
Sure.
And Heath Evans talked about this recently on WEEI, and I heard them play the clip of it today. It wasn't a live shot, but he said this within like the last month or so. He had it. He had a prescription for it. He got diagnosed in high school.
My kid had it. He never took it, but he had it.
Yeah, I see you nodding your head, Andy, and I thought the same exact thing. But
How does he know what I'm thinking?
Because unfortunately, I've worked with you for too many years.
Wait a minute. Your kid had it? Where did it go?
No, he has ADD, but he never took the drug.
Oh.
He was prescribed it, but he refused to take it.
But there's no reason.
And where are they now? Because he
around.
Could sell them and make money.
We actually hit him just because.
Oh, I didn't know if like Cunningham had been by.
Oh,
but
no,
anyway.
No. We took him away, you know.
It's a very easy thing nowadays. These doctors, especially like Andy said, in the NFL, they have their access to everything. And I think it's an easy fix. And Heath Evans talked about saying anybody who gets busted for Adderall right now is just plain stupid. I think what the players are doing is they'd rather be considered stupid than cheaters.
Right.
Now, to me, you're cheating either way. To me, there's no difference.
But the league knows, though, that you're lying, right?
The league knows.
No, because it may be popping up as Adderall. That's my question.
Okay.
Well, is there a chemical similarity between something else and Adderall?
Okay.
Is there some way that this is sort of masking what you're really saying?
But Albert Breer tweeted out today that he knows, in fact, for a fact that guys are lying. Some guys are lying.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, no, the league gives you a letter. League sends you a letter, and it tells you what you tested positive for. The league can there not do a thing after that, no matter what you say.
Right.
That's all the league can do.
But does the team
knows,
get that?
I don't know.
Because that's where I would question, Belichick talking about it. Does he know from the league, does he know that whatever they claim they found in the substance?
I don't know.
Yeah, because he was very specific in those quote.
My guess is he feels pretty confident, but I take that to the next level. And I'm sure it also doesn't say Adderall. It probably says,
amphetamine,
the scientific
steroid,
name.
Blah,
yeah,
blah,
like
blah.
Yeah. Dual tihydrate for the fibrate to the. And is it possible that there's something that's like one thing different than that that is actually a steroid?
And that's the other part of it that I would completely disagree with Bill on, is because if it's unnecessary, then it doesn't make any sense that you'd allow yourself to get caught in a situation. You would make sure that
players. And so many of them.
That's what I'm saying. You'd make sure the players, if they had to take Adderall, would be getting permission to take it.
Right.
So that's why I don't buy this, and I don't buy it here. I don't buy it in Seattle.
Well,
I don't buy it anywhere.
As a fan, can you really blame any fan for just assuming everybody's doing something?
No.
And every pro sport?
No.
In college?
It's sad. It's sad.
It's sad. But
my underlying thing that I can't prove is exactly what Andy says. I would bet anything without having the knowledge that it's covering up for something else. But you can't do that. But even to me, Adderall, even if it was just Adderall, if it's a banned substance, it's cheating. I don't care. For some reason, everybody just looks at it in a different way. I don't really get that.
Well, if it's really Adderall, I don't really care. I don't have a problem with it. But I don't think it is. That's where I stand. But and I also there was the big debate on Dennis and Callahan this morning. If the NFL could do something that would eliminate all drugs, all performance enhancing drugs, would you want that? If whatever they did, it literally would wash the league out within a year or 2 years. I would.
I wouldn't have a problem.
I'm all for either everybody drugging or everybody clean. That's what I want. I want a balanced playing field, because if everybody's clean, now you're back to, okay, that guy doesn't run a 4.3 and bench 225 28 times. He runs a 4.4 and benches 225 17 times. But he's equal to the line. It's all, the whole tide comes down, whatever that level is. And that's what I want. I just want an even playing field.
Right. I agree.
Right. But now it's like you have to keep up with the Joneses. You got to do it, even if you don't really want to do it.
Right. The Pandora's box has been opened. It's a nuclear arms race. He's doing it. I have to do it. But I really wish they would do a thing like Amnesty, where they say, okay, we're going to give everybody a year. After that year, everybody's going to get tested. Blood test. Now, of course, the NFLPA has to be involved. If you get caught from that, you're out. You're out. But give them a year to clean out their systems and everything, start fresh.
Clean it up.
But they'll never be able to do that, because the NFLPA would never allow it. And I think in court, they wouldn't be allowed.
But why wouldn't
What if you have a positive test and it's a wrong test? Now you're out of the league, and it was, you know,
you can't really do that. There's no place on earth where it's literally one strike and you're out.
Right.
I mean, the death penalty. How many appeals do you get on that? And those types of things.
True. Well, you can appeal what happens, but that's it. You know,
The NFLPA though has some fence mending it needs to do with the public as far as its image goes too. After the whole CBA lockout thing last year too. They could stand to do what Andy said and say, you know what, let's all start fresh. Let's your idea, give it a year, clean this whole thing up. Everybody starts from scratch, you know, starting next year or a year from now, whatever.
And it would also fall into line.
And enforce themselves. Any player that's caught doing this, you're
one
done.
Of the other problems is I don't think they have a surefire test for HGH yet.
They don't. They try to claim they do, but
they don't. That's another thing, you know.
But they should be supporting that. The NFLPA should be supporting that.
Especially
no
in
end.
This day and age of player safety.
Exactly.
You know, well, we're going to sue you over concussions, but whoa, don't test us for any trust.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. NFLPA should be helping lead that charge.
The other part of it is just how far behind the testing is to the cheating. And I think it's one of those things that there's no money in testing. There's a lot of money in cheating.
Right.
You know, Andy's guy, Victor Conti. Well, how do we know who Victor Conti is? Right. Guy made a life. Out of beating these
things.
Like,
if you're the NFL, wouldn't you hire him as a consultant?
Sure.
And any of the other guys, you know.
Isn't that what the FBI does?
The guy in, Iowa who
hired him as consultants.
There's a guy that made Andro. Like, he created it. Hire him. Find out these guys.
Right.
And make it worth their while, as well as part of their, you know, Conti went to jail. So, as part of their sentencing, whatever, you need to work for the good guys.
The CIA hires the computer hackers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Catch me if you can.
Right.
Now, the trouble there, remember that? Then they'd have knowledge of your testing. Then they could go back and sell it to the other side, just like the CIA, because they would tell the players how to beat the testing.
Right. Brian in Essex, Vermont says, just wanted to give you a heads up. Adderall is a cocktail of four different amphetamine salts. It's highly abused and prescribed in the U.S., but not for athleticism. Its main reason for being prescribed is for ADHD. However, it's also prescribed to some children who simply don't do well in school. Additionally, college kids overuse it extensively for cram sessions and things of that nature. On some college campuses, up to 25% of the students have used it as a study aid. I'm ADHD and have been through my fair share of medication.
Isn't it ADHD?
ADHD. He can't speak.
Attention deficit.
And I can
hyperactive.
I can definitely attest to it. And drugs like it, its efficacy in being able to improve your ability to focus and concentrate. So.
Right. On the surface, that's what it is. There's always something more.
Yeah.
You know, you got Chester on the line for like 20 minutes.
What's that?
This guy's been on the phone for like 20 minutes.
That's okay.
He's a good caller.
I know. He's getting his stuff ready.
consulting
he doesn't need
cards.
Time. He always gets right to it.
All right. So let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, and Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. I'm happy to say that's the first time the feed has actually lasted more than 10 minutes. My iPhone guy. And thanks for keeping me on hold that long. It's nice to get the show for more than 5 or 10 minutes at a time before it cuts out.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I really built you. I built you up there, Chester. You didn't come through.
He's just telling the truth. Don't shoot the messenger.
Hey, just saying. Hey, listen, guys. Happy belated Thanksgiving, by the way.
You too.
As far as Adderall goes, you know what this does is it sharpens your senses, and essentially, to a certain extent, it gets you into that zone where you can concentrate on those details, and you know, I think that's something that Cunningham was lacking, and I think big reason why these athletes resort to that is, you know, so that they can slow it down on the field and see some of those details, and I think that's why it's banned. It gives you a mental edge, and I think there's more to it than kind of what we're playing into. But as far as kind of my thoughts on this weekend, guys, the fresh legs of Shane Vereen came through for us. You know, I had a short week, I had a feeling, and you know, it's just good to see that our rushing attack grew another head, knowing that the Bolden's coming back. Really, really felt good about that. By the way, you know, since we're all piling up on Fireman Ed, you know, when they panned these guys towards halftime, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, almost would have thought they would lost their power at home for a second time. It was awful, that look on their face. Brutal. But, by the way, thanks for the props on the pregame on that call. Paul, I was wondering, you know, you called me a Mike Felger caller. You know, I'm actually new to this calling thing. I've been a podcast guy for years, and after the Seattle game, I finally thought I'd call in, and I'm hooked, so to speak. But, what were you getting at on that? Do you think you heard me on that show?
No. Mike Felger, he has sort of grown notorious for wanting his callers to come in, make their points quickly, get to it, and then sort of move on. He wants a lot of callers.
Like JT the Brick.
Yeah, he wants a lot of callers in a short amount of time. It was a compliment. I think that you usually you're ready. You don't just kind of ramble on for a long time, which kind of
like
makes people bored.
Well, you know, it's good radio. That's what I want to hear, at least. But, you know, great win. Great to demoralize the Jets. You know, again, get stronger in the division. You know, I got a feeling we're going to show Houston a good showing, you know, looking ahead. But
I have a feeling, too.
Yeah, but in the meantime, let's enjoy this fish sandwich of a schedule we got coming up. And, you know, I'll look to squish these guys this weekend. Guys, have a great week. And, again, happy belated Thanksgiving.
All right, Chester. Thanks for the call. Sam from Brighton writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Fireman Ed is a fraud. He doesn't care about the Jets. He cares only about getting attention. Now that the attention is negative, he's quitting. To me, that shows that he is only in it for the attention. I go to games dressed up in a cape and stuff. I do it because I love the Patriots. I did it before I got attention. I'll do it with attention. I'll do it if I stop getting attention. Anyway, maybe Fireman Ed can go back to being a Dolphins fan like he was when he was a kid. So there you go. We have a caped Patriots fan.
So you have something in common with Fireman Ed. Yeah. He bounced around the division a little bit.
So
how does he know that about Ed must have
I'll bet you
admitted.
He was.
Why would you bet?
Who's the guy with the cape, do you know?
I heard he was on disability, too, right? As a fireman, he wasn't.
Oh, I thought those were Twitter jokes.
Oh, really?
I thought he was just retired.
You might be right.
He's only like 55.
Yeah, but he's, if you start at 18,
yeah, you put in
20
your 20,
years,
25, whatever it is,
really?
And you're out.
Then you become a Jets
fan. Maybe those were real things. I thought they were like joking around saying that if he was in Massachusetts, he would be retired and get 100% pension and all of the, and then he would get into bodybuilding and stuff.
Ed writes in, not Fireman Ed. Did you happen to read Fireman Ed's retirement announcement this week? How pathetic are the Jets that their icon superfan Fireman Ed calls it quits? Outside the Thanksgiving Day blowout, this is the best Christmas gift next to the Jets meltdown. I love it. F the Jets. It's great stuff.
I don't want to be Paul Perillo-like and like always take the other side of something, but isn't this the case of careful what you wish for? I mean, theoretically, don't you want Rex Ryan, Mark Sanchez, and Mike Tannenbaum in the division
well,
for as long
true.
As possible?
You know,
if they bottom out, it means they might start building up.
Tom Curran asked Rex Ryan in his post-game press conference, will you be back next year? And Ryan said, you know, I think I will. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I kind of want him to stay, you know, because it's fun having him in the division.
But it's also fun from Patriots' perspective is you don't respect him. You don't think he and that crew are going to get it done. And Paul and I have talked about this. I actually think just on what he is capable of doing, I think you could argue Rex Ryan deserves more chances. I don't think you can argue that for the quarterback or the GM. The problem is if you replace the GM, you can't make him keep the coach. If you really want to go in the right direction, you hire somebody and say, it's your show, make your football decisions, hire a coach, find a quarterback.
Right.
So I think you have to clean house. I think all three need to go.
I think you're right, though, that, I mean, for Ryan to get that team to two AFC championship games in a row, I mean,
with that quarterback,
he's done something right there.
I think he's a good coach.
Especially in this day and age where you can really go bad, you know, Mike Mularkey type coaches.
I agree with Andy's overall line of thought in terms of if you get rid of Tannenbaum, it's kind of a hard sell to bring in someone else and keep him. But I think it's going to be a good thing for the Patriots if they do gas Ryan, because I think Ryan can coach. Sanchez can't play, and I think Tannenbaum has used up his chances. He can't be the guy.
And then the Patriots can hire Rex Ryan to be the defensive coordinator.
Not only is Tannenbaum not really been effective at his job in terms of replaying, because I think they had a good nucleus of talent, and it's sort of getting old now, and they're not replacing it. But I think that he is part of the problem in that culture down there in terms of off the record stuff. I think he's a source for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
With Jets, Jets
media.
But you
guys don't know that.
Well, that's what we've sort of been told.
Said, I think.
And I know for a fact that he threw Mangini under the bus with Spygate. That's a fact. And I just think that's kind of his MO. He's a save yourself kind of guy.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know. And I always, whenever I'm always skeptical of all those things, all the sides. I think everybody goes to save themselves. They're like that Italian cruise liner guy. They jump in a life raft and try to save themselves at all cost. So I don't believe anybody in these situations.
Yeah, I think that's Tannenbaum.
I think that's everybody. Right. I think the person who's saying Tannenbaum is a loose lip is also a loose lip. And
I think the more confident you are in your own abilities, the less you are like that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying if there's people pointing fingers at Tannenbaum being the snitch, my guess is those people are snitches. Those people are loudmouths.
Well, I think the whole organization is full of clowns. So
yeah.
What would you do though, Fred, if that scenario came to pass and
Ryan gets fired from the Jets, and let's say Belichick wants to make a change, defensive coordinator, and says, you know what, Rex?
He was always
my defensive coordinator.
I'd be shocked.
Aside from being shocked, what would you think about the move from a football perspective?
He would do cartwheels and say, I mean, this is a guy that brought them to two AFC title games in 2 years. This is a great defensive coach.
I always said he can coach defense.
Defense was never the problem there.
I don't know how I would deal with it because
he funnels everything to the middle of the field.
It's impossible to happen. So I don't.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
Bill just said last week, I've known his father forever. His brother was on the staff.
His brother used to coach
here. A lot of similarities.
And we're not talking about whether you think it's going to happen. We're saying, what would your reaction be?
What would your reaction be if it did?
And we're all, and the three of us are trying to tell you some examples of what you would then say. Ignoring it.
My reaction would be that I must be in a dream in an alternate universe.
Oh, here we go. No, he's not taking it seriously.
It's not.
We would remove all foot jokes from any drops in the background here.
His
brother
did used to work for attractive.
Belichick. Right. So
who hasn't seen a foot they wanted to kiss every now and then?
Who doesn't think that's attractive? Funnels everything to the middle of the field.
Joel and Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Brilliant.
That was a great game. I feel like a Volkswagen Beetle should have rolled up to the stadium, and the entire Jets team should have stepped out. Big red noses, multicolored wigs in place. I thought all year the Jets were a train wreck waiting to happen, and they finally derailed on Thanksgiving night. And then Sanchez in the after-game interview talking about things being unlucky. Man, he just doesn't get it. On to bigger things. What happened to Cunningham? Was this another accidentally ingested Adderall? These guys just don't understand how they are hurting their team by doing that crap. Is he a defensive end? If so, that means we are now missing two defensive ends. Who replaces him in the rotation?
I wouldn't jump to that conclusion that you're missing two. I mean, the quick turnaround on Jones last week may have been a big reason for that. He could be back.
And he was in the locker room yesterday. He declined to speak with us, but he walked through pretty early in the process. Didn't appear to be hiding out.
I think if they had a Sunday game,
I agree.
He might have been questionable. And he might not have played, but I think they would have listed him as questionable because I think because it was such a short turnaround, they figured, you know what? We can get by 1 week without him.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned with his production being a little bit limited of late more than I am about his being hurt.
Yeah,
I thought he could actually come back into the Colts game the way he was walking around on the sideline and everything, you know.
And I think if you have him back and Ninkovic, and then you have, you know, the combination of Trevor Scott, Justin Francis, I think you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that does not to diminish what Cunningham was doing. I think he was making some contributions, but I don't think that I think that's a role player that you can do without.
I'm actually intrigued by Francis if he can eat up those reps and see what he can do. I really like him.
I like his motor.
You know, here's something.
An attitude. Remember that one play where he threw somebody to the ground, like
training
punched
camp?
Him, and he's got an edge.
Training camp, he seemed to hit a guy on the edge every other day.
And for the nicest guy in the world, I mean, just like you talk to him in the locker room, and you think he's like this, like kind of
turn
maybe
the switch
lacks
on the field.
That fire, and he's got it on the field.
Back to that Adderall thing. I'm not going to read them all, but it's interesting. It just shows you how prevalent the drug is. Aside from the email I already read, there's four other emails that just came in of all people who are on the who take the drug
legally.
You
listeners,
know, just listening to this show
now, and it's all legal,
right? Just
but yet NFL players can't get a prescription.
Just
for
listening
it.
To the show right now,
which is why I think that so many people are cynical like us and just dismiss it,
right?
Because if you needed it, you'd very easily get a prescription for
it. That's true.
And then these things wouldn't be an issue. That's why I disagree with the way Bill just so, you know, brazenly blows it off as something that's unnecessary.
Well, the problem is some people that actually need it and are using it the right way for the right things are now going to get lumped in potentially.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, there's always the chance that happens. Now, it may be few. I mean, not all, you know, 25 people, it might be one.
Of course.
But there are going to be some that get lumped in. I mean, Jonathan was talking on the pregame show. When was that? Was that this year, last year? And he kind of referred to the spike situation in that, you know, it was really unfortunate. A guy that, you know, had something that he just didn't go through the right channels to get it legalized or you know, whatever the official way to do it was. There's going to be some guys that get lumped in.
Yeah.
But they're not all ADHD guys.
I'm not defending any of these guys.
Well, no. You can't. And
to
that's
me, they're all cheaters.
That's
the way I look at
and
it.
And I'm proud of you for finally coming that way. Because you
finally?
That history of Lance Armstrong and defending him to the end.
Oh, look, I did defend Lance Armstrong. I held out hope for him. But
well, and now you've learned.
And you weren't alone.
Positive thoughts get you nowhere in this world.
You know, the guy raised,
what a miserable
the guy raised
man.
Half $1 billion for a good cause.
Oh, I didn't say he did anything.
It's really just a tragedy.
But
that
it was built on a fraudulent whole thing.
It's a tragedy. tragedy.
You see, my school took his degree away. Tufts
right?
had given him an honorary degree, and they
it wasn't worth it. The paper was printed on anyway.
They gave you a degree,
right?
Mine's real.
Yeah, but they're taking yours away too. Dan in Virginia, what a game.
At least my school doesn't turn its English classroom into the wrestling room afterwards.
Hey, you know what? You have to, when you don't have a lot of money.
Versatility.
Now, like, I think they have a gym now.
Do they have sports?
Yeah, they have sports.
Like, what do they have? All
they have
sports?
They have Oops.
When I was
right?
on the wrestling team, was a club team.
But they had basketball, though, right?
Yeah, they had basketball. And they have
intercollegiate
tennis.
Basketball?
They didn't have tennis. And I went to the AD and I said, you know, well, why don't we have a tennis team? He goes, well, if you want to start one, we'll have one. That's what he told me. He said, if you can get the guys together, we'll start a tennis team.
Was that the boys together for beer? That just seems like
smashing game of tennis.
Well, the AD was also the wrestling coach. So.
And the English teacher. So is this high school or college?
All right, class is over. Get stretched. Let's go.
How much did this cost?
I don't know.
And look where he is today.
Emerson College is a good school.
It's
very focused. Wait,
everybody's
you go there?
Excellent.
Everybody's
on
Adderall. University of Tampa.
I went there first, and then I transferred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Much like everything else, he couldn't just do one thing.
It wasn't a direct transfer. I'll say that. I took a little time off in between.
Was that like on the motorcycle ride home?
Yeah.
Stuck in New Jersey on the turnpike or whatever.
No thinking about my life.
It's got to be more to it than
this. What direction am I going?
When you have the third pimp chase you with a gun, it really opens your eyes to some things.
Yeah, where am I going? Dan in Virginia, what a game. After Edelman took the fumble return in for a touchdown, I was cheering so loud my daughter came downstairs and asked me to keep the noise down because she was trying to sleep. On to some questions. What's the status of Edelman's concussion? Is he likely to be back soon? What's the situation with the injury to Chandler Jones? Is he expected back soon? That's his question.
Who knows?
I wish we had good answers for you, but we don't.
Wednesday around 4 o'clock, we'll step closer to some
the,
answers.
Maybe sooner.
Signing.
Practice.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see Edelman.
I don't think so either.
He didn't look so good.
He didn't look
left
so good.
Signing Ebert,
he was
maybe a
front
sign
center
that they're looking at depth there. You know.
Yeah, and that's a practice squad signing.
Right.
Edelman was front and center in the post-game locker room clip that we have on Patriots.com. Not reading. I mean, he was in street clothes, so clearly he had long since retired to the locker room after the game was over.
He didn't have like a bandage around his head or anything.
He was muttering to himself.
Right.
Where am I?
He's like the English patient.
I'm not reading.
He elbows a player. He's just a guy talking in the middle of the room.
Other than
I'm not reading anything
in his mouth.
It.
You know, I think he looked fine.
Yeah, he wasn't sucking soup out of a straw or anything. But
we're bad people.
We'll see.
In a day and age where 3,000 players are suing the NFL for long-term head damage, we're joking.
Dan of Virginia, after Thursday night, there seems to be an increase of talk for Brady as MVP. While I think Tom is great, possibly the greatest quarterback in history, I don't know that he's the most valuable player this season, as there are a number of other talented players that contribute to the success of the Patriots and the strength of the Patriots as an organization as a whole. There are other single players who are more crucial to the success of their team, like Aaron Rodgers or Ray Rice. I think the MVP discussion is often confused with more of a most talented player or most outstanding player, although that has the less appealing acronym of MOP.
MOP.
So that's more of a...
I disagree.
That's I know you do.
I think Brady is every bit important to his team as Ray Rice or
Dick
Sherman Aaron Rodgers.
Says that he's a one-man team, right?
Yeah, I think you take Brady away from this team and
who?
It's nothing.
Dick Sherman?
Who's Dick Sherman?
Richard Sherman, cornerback for Seattle. Yeah.
Adderall user.
You mad, bro?
Now we know why he was so hyped up afterwards.
Right. Are the Jets fans different to the Giants fans? If so, and it's not just a New York City thing, why are the Jets just such human cesspool all the way from the fans to the players? Do you think Tim Tebow goes home each day and cries in the shower like the crying game scene in Ace Ventura?
No. If he's legit, then he can't. If he is what he's always purported himself to be, then he, you know, God's plan, and he has to be all in on that.
Right. This is his burden. Well, that brings up the good topic, and I'll just finish out the email really quickly. Finally, on a new mascot or crowd leader for the Jets, do you really want to see how someone would symbolize that team given their current state of play? Could they dress in green, or would another color be more appropriate? Okay, so that's it. But as far as, you know, we kind of teased this earlier, the Jets fans, you know, why are they like that? You know, and I think a lot of it has to do, like we said, with them being second fiddle in that town. And when things go bad, they have to show that I'm not going to put up with this. I'm better than that. You know, the team may be doing bad, but I'm going to, you know, voice my displeasure in, you know, such a vociferous way that you'll know without a doubt that I'm against this, and you know, and I think it's silly, it's stupid, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that, the whole psychological second fiddle thing to the Giants. I think there's probably something to that. I just think New York in general is a more negative place than most. Philadelphia, I would put in there, and I think Boston can be like that, but I don't think we're anywhere near as bad.
But
as
the Giants fans, even now, they haven't had the
Giants fans can boo too.
They can boo, but they're not. You know, they don't have that.
Not like the Jets. But the Giants have had success. The Jets haven't.
But
right.
They don't have that inferiority complex that makes it worse.
But that's why.
Yeah.
But they've also had success, like, they've even before Coughlin. You know, you'd have Fossil. You had enough competitive nature. You know, the Jets, there's
Parcells.
None of that to lean on. I mean, right. They get that excited when they go to an AFC title game.
There's probably not a guy in the stadium that has seen the Jets have success. Whereas the Giants probably have. No, they won in 1969.
I was around.
How many guys do you think that are there?
I was around then.
And what did you see?
I was 8 years old.
So you can remember
lasting
stuff
memories as an 8 year old.
I remember Don Maynard and Emerson Boozer
and
Joe
think,
Namath.
And don't you think, as I would probably put myself,
Matt Snell?
Don't you think you're
Matt
older Snell? Than the average fan at an NFL game now?
Am I? I think I'm right in the demo of the Patriots season ticket holders.
I would
Sounds
say that's
like
about right.
Most Patriots, most Patriots season
How
ticket
are
holders are in their 50s.
Wow. I'm stunned by that.
Well, what did you think they were?
Much younger than that.
No,
where are they getting the money?
Yeah, you can't afford to if you're much younger than that. You got a family and kids. You got to choose. Do I want
tickets
or kids?
I just can't imagine being in my 50s and wanting to go to every game. I just can't imagine that. But yeah, I guess I'm wrong. What am I going to do?
And when you're there, you don't stand up.
Every pro game, you mean.
Well, I can't imagine.
Because he'll be in his 90s going to those crap-ass games.
No, if I could go down here for 3 hours, absolutely. But it's a whole day thing.
You're right.
I can't imagine just wasting a whole Sunday when you're a grown adult and you have children. And I just can't imagine that every week. I can't.
Some people, that's what they live for, though. They live for
Sundays.
Right. They live for NFL Sundays.
I still think that you're on the old side, that we're on the old side of Patriots fans.
Josh in Waterloo, Iowa.
In general, I think you're
right. Like, when you drive down Route 1, do you see a lot of people in their cars as they're coming into the parking lots that are older than you or younger than us?
You're older.
Like me. Maybe not so much
older.
You.
Older. Definitely older.
You think you see more that are older than me?
Yeah.
Well, older than Andy, for sure.
I'm talking about me. I'm 10 years older than
you. Yeah, I think you see
you
late 40s,
look.
50s.
You said look older.
None of them look older than you.
Just kidding, Paul. He's all mad.
No, I just think there's a younger crowd. No, I think it's like a 25 to 40
when I
crowd
say the demo me. Is in their 50s, that's the people who own,
you know, the Patriots shirts.
The
every
right.
guy's,
now, who actually uses the ticket is
every guy's
is
wearing
another
a Patriots shirt. I just can't imagine guys are like 50.
Oh, God.
I got my Brady
are you
shirt
kidding
on.
Me?
I see a lot of them on Route 1.
What a bunch of pear-shaped
like
losers.
Fathers and grandfathers wearing.
Now, I may be swayed a little bit because we do walk through and drive through the club lots, and that's definitely
but that's corporate.
That's definitely an older crowd.
I'm talking about the guys that are in the seat, you know, the blue collar guys.
Look,
in the seat.
Next time I go up to our 300 level seats,
I know
I will
you
check.
Make fun of it, but if I was a season ticket holder,
I was a season ticket holder. I'm not making fun of them.
Listen to me. Listen to me. If
yeah,
I was,
sucked
let
then.
Me finish. If I was a season ticket holder,
we went to the
I
Super
would
Bowl.
Wear I would wear a what? Jersey. I would wear a jersey
and
on game day.
Now?
Yeah.
Today? Okay.
So everyone, it looks better if everyone's in blue or everyone's in red. It looks better.
All right.
I might too. Yeah. I probably would.
And you'd wear.
I'd get caught up in it.
I will say this: it's the only place I would ever entertain.
Right.
Wearing. A
I wouldn't
shirt.
Wear it to the supermarket.
Would be.
But
well,
I'd wear it on game day.
But I mean, yeah,
your own customized or a player?
No, players. I'd wear somebody else.
Yeah, like I had Bledsoe shirts. I had a home and an away.
So who would you
wear? This is what I'm saying. I'm not making fun of season ticket holders. I was one of them.
Probably Woodhead. Gronkowski.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
I would be Gronk. I think Gronk is a perfect guy. His whole shtick, I don't know how you cannot like that. He's the jersey.
I was like,
because Brady, you're kind of a pretty boy. Oh, everybody's got the quarterback jersey.
You know, maybe Spikes. That's a good one.
That's a weird
Spikes.
One. Because he's seen his junk.
He's prepared, as he told me yesterday.
Like Mayo, Wilfork.
Maybe Mayo.
Wilfork would be good for you.
I don't know. Lineman, I was never.
The
build
is similar.
The seven on one side, the five on the other.
It would hang similarly as it does off him.
Yeah, to me, it's,
I'd have the Brady.
To me, it's linebackers,
of course
running
you are,
backs, or the quarterback. That's what would appeal to me.
What about Welker?
It's just the way it is.
Welker? You're a Welker fan.
I wouldn't wear a wide receiver.
So Gronk doesn't play the right position, so you can't buy his jersey?
No, I wrong with that? He catches, you know,
he catches touchdowns.
He's special. He's special.
It's unbelievable.
He has rule. I mean, that makes any of your rules look stupid.
I know.
The fact that there's only certain positions.
I wish I had a dollar for every time that Andy said to me.
I'm not saying for everyone.
I always thought your rules were ridiculous.
For me.
So, like Jones, he's a defensive lineman. Couldn't pick him.
Before I was a Broncos fan, I was attracted to the Kansas City Chiefs because of Willie Lanier. And then I was in,
attracted to is an interesting choice of words.
Then I liked the Broncos because of Randy Gratishar, and then Carl Mecklenburg came. I liked the linebackers that always appealed to me. And running backs always appeal to me. So that's you know, what I would do.
Okay.
That's just me, though. Okay. I'm not saying it's for everybody.
I just think it's weird, and you weren't joking when you said Woodhead.
I would wear a Woodhead.
What about Ridley, the actual running back?
I would wear Ridley, sure.
But you didn't say Ridley. You said Woodhead.
No, because, you know, he's that guy. I liked Woodhead before I liked Ridley. I've always liked Woodhead.
Do they carry Ridley jerseys, Pro Shop? Knowing Flanders, no. Because
they're
only
going
to have 1,200 yards. You got to have 1,500 before you get a jersey.
Yeah, he'll get one next year.
Well, they have Woodhead jerseys.
Something will happen.
Well, yeah, that's 1,500 yards. That's a New England thing.
Josh in Vermont says, Waterloo, Iowa, I'm sorry. First off, Fred, did you get the idea for the cover from the blog? Because I sent in that same idea during the game. Will I be receiving royalties for that? No, Andy.
Thanks for giving?
Yeah, thanks for giving. I don't.
That was an
Josh.
Andy.
I'm not saying you didn't do it, but Andy came up with that.
That was
so.
An Andyism in the mid, late in the game.
Yeah, I didn't come up.
And
with
I don't
it.
Love it, by the way. Actually, we were coming up. Blank. We were coming
it's
up
a
with.
Blank. I think that with the picture is perfect.
But it's fine. But it's not fun. There's nothing fun about it.
What do you mean? There's nothing fun.
You know,
about
here's
it?
Where we direct our attention to Andy. He has rules as to
right now.
No,
you
but
have
that's
a rule
not fun. Like, are
to.
You reffing kidding me? Is fun. Those are fun. You know, the play on
if
words,
it's a, play
a
on
little edgy.
Thanksgiving is a play on Thanksgiving.
If it's a play,
yeah,
but
a boring
to,
one.
But it has to be a pun that is like coming off a swear.
No, it does not.
He has a potty.
No, it does not.
This is the epitome of pomposity. He has a good cover, and even for him, it's not good enough.
I don't love
why
it.
Why is my boy Drew on Mike and Mike?
You know what
morning?
This is? Anyone? This is the Globe cover. This is a Globe headline as opposed to
way
a poster, a herald.
For quarterbacks
and
being
I like,
usurped by their understudies, I think.
Way too...
It's cerebral.
Creative.
It's family friendly. It's ho hum. It's not
okay.
Edgy.
Like a Jets cover. I mean, a Globe cover for that game was Pat's feast on Jets. Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so yeah. It's better than that.
It's like right. This is way too
but
creative for.
I don't. I mean, like I told you, they asked me about. I did Toucher and Rich a couple days ago, and they actually said, "You guys at PFW have had some really good covers this year. Are you reffing kidding me? Some that. What do you got this week?" And I said,
"International love.
International they were, love.
They
love
that. Okay. All right."
And then I said, "We just have kind of thanks for giving." And they were like, "Oh yeah, that's okay."
Well, you didn't play it up right.
And then I told them I wanted to do luck off last week, but Fred Kirsch stopped me.
But it works with the picture.
I know, but it there's nothing fun about it.
I thought it was fun, Fred.
I thought it
was.
No,
and it was Andy's.
Fine.
I'm giving Andy the credit for
it's
it.
It's fine, but it's not fun. You know, it's like, Daniel Fells versus Rob Gronkowski. Fells gets the job done. He had a nice catch the other day, but he's not Gronk. Gronk does it
well,
with
I'm
pizzazz.
Not saying this was like one of the best covers we've ever done, but I think it was apropos, and I think it hit
or
the mark.
Let me Gronkowski versus Witten.
It hit the
they're
mark.
They similar production. They get the job done, but Gronk does it with a spike and a smile and strippers and fun.
Well, what would you have rather?
What done? What about like
I didn't have anything.
How about J O K E, joke, joke, joke.
I don't love it.
Well, I think if you go that, you just do the J O K E, and people know the rest. Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
dot,
this
dot,
week,
dot.
The one this week was something on butt or fumble, playing in that. And
like Bumble.
Yeah.
Poop and score.
Poop and score is good.
Hey, Mark, how does my ass taste?
I actually thought of that.
This is why I said it has to be a pun
no,
with a swear involved.
No, but it doesn't.
Some kind of potty language.
No, because like. Because
you have a potty mouth.
Maybe.
That says that.
Did we do bird droppings once?
Oh, yeah.
I believe we did.
Yeah, see, that's funny, but again, that's potty. It's good pooping. Maybe you're right.
We've also used
maybe
it
is swears or potty.
Jets fall in more of a hole. M-O-O-R-E.
Yeah, Brandon Moore. Brandon Moore.
Yeah.
I like our...
Sanchez hits Moore's hole.
Wrong hole.
Wrong hole, Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez! That's what it is! Now, there's the winner.
We couldn't use it.
Obviously, you couldn't.
But that's it.
You shouldn't have used Are You Reffing Kidding Me?
Why?
No, that was the best one
swear.
Ever. That was the best one ever.
I don't know about that.
Ever. Best like, PFW cover ever.
I don't know about ever.
I think
ever.
My favorite is Ready, Willing, and Vrabel.
That was good. That Silence of the Fans was a good one.
Way back when you did the one with Parcells, and he was like, had that
frustrating.
Frustrating.
I got a letter on that.
That
one.
Was awesome.
I did.
Remember
from
that?
A fan, you know,
that was awesome. Back, the Zorro cover with Zolak.
That was a good
one. Oh, that was a good
one.
That
was an excellent
cover.
Visually. Yeah, visually.
It looks real.
Like, it looked like the cover was real.
Oh, I didn't see that one. What was Zolak that? It looks like Zorro did it.
Zolak
like
won a game as a starting quarterback, and we had the big Z like Zorro. But it looked like it was actually cut through, so we mimicked the edit letter behind it.
Oh, that's
awesome.
So it
looked like you were looking through the paper.
People were actually calling saying that their paper was ripped.
Visually, that may have been the best ever. That was
a real Donnie Richmond.
Donnie
back,
here.
Back when we tried.
You know.
Oh, we try sometimes.
We try to come up with words.
Spray it all over me again.
Anyway, Josh says, second icing on the cake came yesterday when I read the dipstick that yells,
speaking of the icing on
Jets,
the cake.
Jets is going to stop wearing his hat and doing his shtick. From now on, we can remember the game that we killed Fireman Ed.
It will be interesting to see the result. Now, will somebody else try to step in? Will the you know, Kevin Collins try to put it on the board and get the crowd to do it visually?
Right. Well,
one of our listeners had a suggestion for the cover. Wrecked him? Damn near killed him.
That's a good one.
Wrecked him. Our guy who does the limericks, he should come up with the lyrics for, you know, Bye Bye American Pie. We could do, you know, the day the Fireman Ed died. He could, you know, he could do lyrics for that.
But he only does limericks.
Well, he's probably a lyric.
And lyric is close, Eric.
And he's,
so.
Not, and he's not good at that either, so.
Oh, he's pretty funny sometimes.
He's good. Oh, come on.
He's terrible. Is Tom Brady terrible? He doesn't complete all his passes. Some are swings and misses.
All his limericks are about me. They're terrible.
He, like, chopped up a bunch of metaphors there. Does he complete all his passes? Some are swings and misses.
TG and NJ, hey, guys. I was back in New England for the football high holiday and got to watch the game with the Pats fans. But kind of wish I stayed in New Jersey to watch it with my Jets friends. I was texting with a Jets season ticket holder during the game. He's disgusted, gave up on the team at halftime, says overall the fans are pissed. We pay the most in PSLs and concessions, and this is the product? He says he will not be renewing his season tickets, and he and his buddies are jumping on the Broncos bandwagon this season.
Oh, boy.
I think the Christmas tree, Tannenbaum, gets the axe, Rex stays, new quarterback, same old Jets. So there you go. I love it.
I don't know if it'll be the same old Jets if you get rid of Sanchez.
Does Tebow stay?
Who you get rid of him for.
You think Tebow stays?
No.
Yeah, disingenuous there. I heard Glenn Ordway yesterday.
No?
Somebody was saying, you know, you need the quarterback and, you know, it's hard to get. Well, the Broncos got Peyton Manning. Okay, that's a once in a freaking lifetime.
And all those other teams were all interested in trying to get him, too.
But,
you know, they make it sound like Denver made
the first and only
move.
Time an elite quarterback still in his prime, even though he had the injury concern, was available like
but,
that.
But, I mean, think
never.
About, think
even
about
Drew
the
Brees
amount of
is
teams.
Not in that category when he went to New Orleans. Not even close.
Think about the amount of teams that were tied to him. Like, people now look back, like right. Denver made this brilliant move. You know, Arizona, Tennessee, Miami.
San Francisco.
The Jets.
San Francisco. That's
San
right.
Francisco. Because remember the Jets.
Houston. You
know, Houston. Remember the Jets sniffed around and Manning said he didn't want to go there because his brother was already in New York. Basically, every
it's a one
team,
Manning town.
Basically, every team that didn't have an established quarterback, in Houston's case, that did.
Yeah.
Looked into it. Denver got lucky. They were the ones that he picked. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Elway. He saw an opportunity, and he jumped, and he got it done. Give him credit.
I got to give him credit.
You've loved him forever. That's like me giving Bo credit.
No, but,
yeah,
you know,
but I was down on him. I was down on him last year.
You were?
Yeah, I Kenny
Why?
Keller.
Because he was ripping Tebow?
Yeah.
He was right.
But you don't do that in public as the leader of the team.
And did he really rip him?
He was asked a question.
He wasn't supporting him. Let's put it that way.
No, but he was asked a question. Are you secure in your long-range plans at quarterback? And he said no.
Right. Well, I don't like how he handled it, but you got to admit
because
that
it
what
was your
did,
guy. That's why you didn't like how he handled
what
it.
What he did this year is phenomenal.
If you felt like Andy did about Tebow, you'd have had no problem with the way he felt.
Probably.
He handled it.
TG and NJ also
plus
says,
he was truthful. That's the other thing.
Well,
unlike most, he was truthful.
But you got to
wait.
He answered a question
truthfully. He didn't rip Tebow.
No,
he just
he
said
was
that I don't know if we have a long-term quarterback.
He was honest.
Here.
It's sort of like Buddy Nix in Buffalo is doing the same thing with our quarterback of now is not our quarterback of the future. We need to find our quarterback of the future.
And that was kind of more ripping Fitzpatrick than what Elway did.
TG and NJ also says, Paulie can't understand why an older fan would waste his day going to a game, but it's okay to drive up and down the East Coast following Northeast.
And if I did that 8 times a year, I think that'd be
well, it's a little different because it's like an 11-hour drive or whatever.
No, I'm saying if I went to road games and spent the whole day at a game 8 times a year, wasted 8 weekend days a year away from my kids.
Well, you waste them at home.
That would be kind of sad. No, but that would be kind of sad. I think that's sad.
I think it's sad, too.
That's all.
I think it's sad now.
When you're 30,
child abuse when you bring Will and TJ.
I was that guy. At 30, you know, 25, 30 years old. I'm not making fun of season ticket holders. Like, I think that you're kind of misrepresenting me there. I was one of you. I was there before Fred took me away from it. I was there.
Before you had kids and all that stuff.
Yes.
Now he thinks you're all stupid.
No, I just think it's a little sad that you don't want to be with your family.
Speaking of
pity.
crime on Paul, listener on listener crime, Canadian Mike in Florida. Really, Jeff from Vegas? You're making fun of Orlando's voice? A guy who sounds like a cross between all the characters from Revenge of the Nerds and Kermit the Frog? You shouldn't throw stones.
I love the caller on caller crime.
But back to more important things. I will be in Miami for the game, and I just wanted to know if you guys take the opportunity to mingle with tailgaters before the game. No, we don't.
Hell no.
It's not that we don't. We can't.
We won't.
Two busloads are coming down and holding a private tailgate, and the guys would get a kick out of you guys crashing the party. We should be the largest group, so you can't miss us. So maybe I'll send Eric out there.
There's no ladies either. He said the guys will get a kick out of you guys coming out.
You never know.
It'd be better if there were ladies got a kick out of coming out, because then Eric would be
nice. Make an effort.
The orange lot, or whatever they call them down there.
Keith writes in.
Fins up.
Keith writes in, hey guys, and your in-studio guest, I guess that would be Eric. I don't know, because you're not here a lot. I would love Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator. Can you picture the press conference? Rex at the podium saying, I came here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings.
Well, there would be no press conference.
Right.
They don't have press conferences for assistant
but
coaches.
But he would
here.
Have to speak every week on conference call.
Yes, he would. That would be entertaining.
Everybody skips Bill's press conference.
Would make him assistant head coach defense, and yep. He wouldn't be the defensive coordinator.
Consultant.
That's how he would get around
and
it.
And Patricia would continue to say,
that's a good call.
You know, it's
by
like
you,
everything
Paul.
Else.
That's right.
We're just trying to get better week by week.
Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. Melvin has been patiently standing by. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I just had to comment on one thing. I guess as I was watching the game, I guess I would have to agree with Andy as he's been preaching throughout the season that, golly, this is one crappy AFC. I was looking at the teams with four wins, and we're in, you know, 10 and 11 games into the season, and teams with four wins still have a chance to make it to the playoffs. I was like, wow, this is a major downgrade from what the AFC used to be. But
I wouldn't just limit it to the AFC. I think the NFC is pretty bad as well.
Yeah, they're just about 5 or 6, too, you know. I mean, it's just crappy all around.
Bill Belichick has decimated the AFC East.
The fact that the Indianapolis Colts are the number 5 seed says all you need to know about the AFC. That's a bad football team. And they're going to make the playoffs.
And the way it is right now, if the season ended right now, the Broncos would play the Colts.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's going to change, though.
Yeah.
If the Colts lose to the Texans twice.
But it's also interesting that it's also interesting. Sorry, Melvin. That almost every division is already basically wrapped up.
Four divisions can end this Sunday.
Yeah,
the Patriots can clinch.
I believe so.
Denver can clinch. Baltimore can clinch, and someone else can clinch.
How do we feel about those caps and T-shirts?
Atlanta, I think Atlanta.
But
all four of the divisions in the AFC are basically done now. Whether it's going to be this week or shortly thereafter, and you know, Atlanta has obviously run away with the South and the NFC.
And the Chiefs have the
a lock on the
they're the first team to be eliminated.
Yep. The only team at this point that's been eliminated.
Is that the only one-win team?
Yeah.
The Jags won this week.
The Jags won.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some bad football, Melvin.
Yeah, it is. It has been, for sure, and especially watching some of these games this past weekend. But do you all think that for sure the Patriots to be playing wildcard weekend? I would have, before this season, that there's no way that we'll at least get a 2 seed.
I think they have
a very, very good chance to get a bye.
The Ravens still have to pay the Steelers, but the problem is the Steelers.
Well, they beat them once. They have to play them
right.
at home
and
now.
And they
this
usually
time.
Never sweep. You know, it's hard to sweep.
Yeah, but they also never had to face them without Roethlisberger.
Exactly. That's
and they
what
swept
I'm saying.
Them last year.
And
too.
they have the Bengals still, and the Bengals are playing better. But they'll probably beat them too, and then I think they have
the Giants and they have Denver. They have a tough schedule.
They have a tough schedule.
Yep. So they could lose.
It's possible.
The key, you know, is the fact that the Patriots lost to them. You know, but, so now you have to. Here's the thing.
Let me just throw this out there real quick, because this is something Andy and I were talking about. Sorry, Eric, if you were going to say the same thing, you might be on the same line. Denver has to play Baltimore. Let's just say, for argument's sake, Denver beats Baltimore. Okay? Suddenly, that Baltimore win over the Patriots becomes irrelevant because they'll all have three losses. Denver will have beaten Baltimore. Baltimore beat the Patriots. The Patriots beat Denver.
No, but head-to-head, you lost to that team.
But you didn't lose to Denver.
But
you
a three-way tie wipes it out.
Denver beat Baltimore, so that wipes that out. It goes to conference record.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay,
Patriots
so
benefit.
Everybody is sort of fixated on the fact that we lost to Baltimore. We lose the tiebreaker. We're two games behind. We're only one game behind. Until that happens after the season and you're tied with just Baltimore.
Right.
Everybody is completely forgetting that part.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also a chance that you could end up with like a four-way tie. You know, Houston, if Houston loses to the Patriots and one other game, suddenly they have three losses. You know, lot of different things can happen.
Oh, yeah.
Denver has a pretty easy schedule. The Patriots have a pretty easy schedule. Patriots a little bit tougher than Denver's with two good teams that they have to play. Denver just has the one in Baltimore. But I think we all can sort of assume that someone's going to lose to someone that you don't expect to as well.
Yep.
Because these teams just aren't good enough to win all these games.
And the point I was going to make is everyone is assuming New England runs the table in this scenario.
Yes. Right.
Like all right, Baltimore has to lose a couple of games and we're set. Well, wait a minute. You still have to win games.
Right.
And you have two very, very good teams coming to Foxborough in December.
That's also why fans were so worked up over the flag thing in Detroit, because now Houston gets another loss.
Right.
Even though it doesn't necessarily mean they were to get a loss, but right. Had they picked up another loss, now you can beat them, you control,
that's right.
Boom, 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 boom. But,
Melvin, did you have anything else? I'm sorry.
The last thing I just wanted to say was the irony
in
that situation.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Melvin.
That Paul brought up is now you benefit from losing to what Paul thinks is the worst division in football. You lose two games to the NFC West, it doesn't hurt your AFC conference record.
Yeah, if you extrapolate from that,
right.
And it ends up right now, the Patriots would only have one loss in the conference as of now. So if the Patriots did what Eric said.
Good point.
If they win out, which is not a given, but if they win out and have three losses, two of them outside of the conference, well, Denver would have lost to the Patriots and to Houston. So they'd have two in-conference losses. So you beat them.
Yep.
And Baltimore would have lost to Denver and,
does it go to conference first or common opponents?
Conference first, I believe. Don't hold me to that. I think the three-way tie goes to conference opponents.
I have the tiebreakers upstairs, but
it goes to conference records first and a three-way tie.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Brian writes in. Bruno writes in. I think the Patriots organization should ask the league to play the late game every Thanksgiving. It makes sense. The Patriots have had a competitive team for over 10 years, and Thanksgiving started in New England. What better way to remember the holiday? How can the Patriots be contacted so I can recommend this idea? The team benefit would be half bye week extra to rest. Yeah, we don't want to play on Thanksgiving every year.
Heck
yeah.
No.
Thank you.
And we means everybody.
So,
I don't think
Bruno,
Bill Belichick wants
as
it.
As opposed to forwarding your email, I delete it.
I think they need to do something about the Thursday games. You know, I think they need to set it up so the teams that play on Thursday have a bye the week before that, because I don't think it's fair. Especially for the road team.
Okay, three or more clubs to break a tie within a division. Wild card team, other type of division.
Okay, good.
three or more clubs.
Yeah.
Head to head. Best one loss percentage. Well, that's division.
Okay,
though.
Brandon Moore writes in while you're looking that up.
Right. Well, he just didn't find it.
When you have it, because there is a thing on NFL.com, I believe.
That's what I'm looking at.
It's a list.
That's where he is.
I read it yesterday, but I just forget. The three-way tie in terms of common opponents first or conference record first.
Someone named Brandon Moore writes in, I just wanted to ask if you have a number for a good Harvard proctologist. I have a terrible pain in my ass.
But I do think that's somewhat important, that whole Baltimore thing, because I think people just look at it linear, you know, one game. They can't catch Baltimore unless Baltimore loses twice, which, by the way, I think Baltimore has a very good chance to lose twice in the last 5 weeks. They play Baltimore has Pittsburgh, the Giants, Denver.
At Washington.
Okay, an easy one. And then Chicago. Yep. I mean, Cincinnati.
At Cincy, yep.
So Cincinnati has been playing much better lately. I think there's a very good chance they lose two of those games. And you don't even have to worry about a tiebreaker if the Patriots win. Now, I think Eric is right. To just pencil in every game as a win for anybody is a little premature right now.
Especially when you play the two best teams in football.
Yeah, you do have them both at home, though.
Still, I think that's the two a huge best advantage. Teams in football.
And I think the Houston
play the
game
Cardinals
is,
at home, too.
The Houston game is markedly easier because it's the third straight road game for Houston. And I think that'll be a big help.
Tony writes in, good afternoon, men of PFW, including Eric. Not for nothing, but the Patriots scored 21 points in less than a minute and 35 points in 10 minutes. I know that what happened during that quarter was a complete fluke, but I think that as the coach, you have to keep playing until you cannot possibly be done in by a series of flukes, bad plays, or bad calls. So that's why he believes that Belichick plays starters deep into blowouts. I have not been a Belichick apologist for keeping his players in, and I've consistently thought that Brady shouldn't be working through the final whistle during many games, but perhaps this is why he actually does keep the starters on the field. It should be interesting to hear Paul argue against this rationale. Thanks in advance.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue against it because I think you're absolutely right. But I just wanted to make one comment.
But you play differently.
No, I want to make one
at the end.
Nobody is suggesting 35 points in the second quarter. Then the game was over. And we all know that. But no one's suggesting Brady's got to be out of this game. You know, 35-0 lead in the second quarter, third quarter. No, you can't.
But his point is if it can happen that fast, it can happen that fast at the end of a game too.
Yeah, no, it can't.
Right, because you play differently.
That's my point, is if you do what you're supposed to do and just hand the ball off, it can't happen. You know, your quarterback, you know, if he turns around and I know this is a novel concept for the Jets, but if your quarterback calls a running play in the huddle and then remembers that it's a running play when he gets to the line and hands the ball off to somebody, you have to be pretty unlucky to run into the back of your guard's ass, fumble the ball right to another guy on the other team, and allow that to be a touchdown. Can we all agree on that?
Sure.
Like, yes, Paul.
And then
and I hate cancer.
And now you have to do this five times in the last 5 minutes of a game in order to be in trouble.
All right. It looks, Paul, like head to head does count in three or more clubs.
I know it does, but it cancels each other out because Baltimore beat the Patriots. The Patriots beat Denver. Denver would have beaten Baltimore.
Okay, so the next one would be division.
No, that's to break a tie within a division.
But it also says up here that this
right.
this
so you'd eliminate that one because this is
used for the
so
playoff.
The next
thing.
One,
so the next
is
one after that is common games.
Common first and then conference.
Common games and then conference.
Yeah, that was the only thing I couldn't remember is which one came first.
Right.
I didn't figure out common opponents because that's a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complicated at this
Taz in Toronto writes in, I'm not sure if anyone asked this, but can't Cunningham appeal the suspension like the Seahawks are trying to do
so he can
at least still play until the appeal hearings while Jones is hurt?
He could have.
But then, if you lose it, then it starts at that point. You'd rather serve your suspension right away and hopefully be available for the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe if this
he also
were...
may not have any grounds to appeal.
Well, if it were earlier in the season, maybe... they would have done that? Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
Like, let's just say for argument's sake, he's taking Adderall. You don't have a grounds to appeal.
True.
That's illegal.
Yeah. But I'm taking Adderall. Yeah.
But that's illegal.
Frank writes in, Jets, bye, bye, bye. Yes, they suck. Indeed, nothing rolls off the tongue like F the Jets, but I am a little down in the dumps with Fireman F off. There simply aren't any rivalries in sports like Boston versus New York. Very little gets the blood boiling like the hatred between these two fantastic sporting towns. Jets have long been the foster child of New York City, sort of like the abortion you wish you got.
The little bit of respect
they got was from being one of the few teams to challenge the Patriots, beat the Patriots from time to time, and make the immortal known as Brady mortal for 3 hours on any given Sunday. Who's out there? Buffalo? Might as well be a Canadian team. Miami, well, it's the only place you can watch football in bikinis at the same time. I do love the home crowd. Perhaps one of them will stand up at some time. However, until they do, I will enjoy and gloat, gloat, gloat. Thank God for the Ravens. No, never thought I'd say that out loud. He means in terms of teams that can challenge you, I guess. Is that what he means? Yeah.
Brady getting more MVP talk on NFL Network, Freddie.
Well, yes, he should.
He's definitely in the running. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I kind of agreed with the email, though. I hadn't heard a lot of publicity for him as the MVP.
Yeah, I've heard mostly Manning.
I heard the Watt stuff, and I'm like, huh?
Brady has definitely come on, but I heard mostly Manning, and I think everybody's giving him credit for what he's come back from as much as
That's a different award.
Why is he so angry?
Giving him credit for what? Turning a playoff team into a playoff team?
Comeback player.
I didn't say that he needed to be given the MVP because of that. I just said I think that's part of it.
And by the way, the comeback player, I was convinced last night by John Gruden, is Thomas Davis. I didn't know he had three consecutive ACLs. and he's having a good year. Comeback player. Screw you, Manning. All you had was four surgeries.
Let's see.
Same surgery.
Michelle wants to know, in regards to the many suspensions this past week, I was just wondering where the information of Adderall came from. I heard in Seattle, both the cornerback Wright and Cunningham, it was all Adderall. I can't seem to remember that the NFL has disclosed that specific information before. Maybe I'm wrong. They didn't. They didn't disclose it.
They can't.
That was from a source. The league does not disclose what the drug was. Also, is it true that Adderall masks other PEDs? I heard that that wasn't the case, that it's not a masking agent, but I...
Yeah, Andy and I think differently.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know. I need somebody. I want Victor Conti or somebody to do some serious work here, but I have my doubts. And don't you think it has to come, or in all likelihood, it comes from the player side, the agent?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's too much to lose from a league or a team.
Can't come from the league.
Well, I mean, it could. Somebody who knows could tell somebody. That can happen.
But I think your reason is
but,
why.
But, I mean,
can't.
You have so much to lose. You could blow up your entire drug testing program if something like that came to light or a lawsuit.
Sure.
So, in all likelihood, it comes from the player side end of it, whether it's an agent, the player, his mother, his friend, anybody.
Yep. So,
yeah.
But the league does, you know, if the league knows one thing and you're saying Adderall, somebody or some people know this guy's a liar.
Yeah, but you can't do anything about
yeah,
it.
But they can't say anything, and they know they can't say anything.
I know they can't say anything, but you... You as the player know, well, there are some people that know I'm lying. I'm
yeah,
going to do
it
anyway.
But you know they can't say
anything.
I know,
anything,
I know. So that emboldens you to keep lying.
But to me,
right?
I just couldn't do that. Could you?
Yeah.
Really? You could do that?
If my career was riding on it, I probably could.
Why don't you just shut up and take the suspension?
Yeah, see, I wouldn't say it was anything.
Right.
You don't have to say anything.
You don't have to say
I
anything.
I probably wouldn't, but, I mean, if your life and your career is riding on it,
but
I think...
But it's not.
I don't think it is.
You serve a four-game suspension and
you
you're
go about your merry way.
Right.
I don't know. I think a guy like Cunningham, his career was riding on it this year, and you could be convinced that your career
yeah,
is riding on
if,
this.
If it wasn't, in fact, what it... That, I would not say a word.
So then everybody just assume you are taking steroids.
They are anyway.
No. Because if you don't say Adderall, people say, well, those people said Adderall, so they took Adderall. He didn't say anything,
well,
so clearly he was taking steroids.
I still wouldn't, unless I actually was taking Adderall.
Well, then you're just mixed in with the people who say they
well,
are.
That's okay, but...
I don't think I would say
But if I wasn't, if it's a lie, I wouldn't say it.
And I also think if you truly trust your agent and you pay him and he convinces you this is what everybody's doing, this is the best course for X, Y, and Z, you might say... Okay, I mean, that's why I pay you. You know more than I do. So I think it's hard to say. I would never do that unless you're in that situation.
Right. Well, okay. All right, that's it.
You know what,
though?
If they appeal, I'm a big believer, and if you appeal and really have no grounds for an appeal, you're just appealing to be an a-hole or whatever, you should double the suspension.
Yeah.
Seattle guys, if you have no real leg to stand on and that comes out in arbitration, okay, it's an 8-game suspension. Thanks for playing, dick.
You should have something added to it. I agree
yeah.
with you. I agree
don't
with
waste
that.
Everybody's time and try to manipulate the system and
now,
pick
you know,
when
if
you
it
miss
takes,
games.
And I don't know how fast the NFL will hear these appeals, but let's just say, for argument's sake, it takes a couple of weeks, and now they can play the rest of the season
right.
or whatever, you know? And, you know, suddenly the
hey,
Seahawks,
if I think I'm innocent, I'm going to appeal.
Well, that's, he just said if yeah. they don't have
if you don't have anything
to say. I know.
Some of these guys
it's not
have,
about
have
winning
had
or
legitimate,
losing the appeal. Sometimes.
I mean, some of these appeals have led to changes in supplement policies and certifications for supplements. But I'm just saying, if a guy is just flat out busting balls or appealing for what
like
public,
time.
For, you, just for public PR reasons,
if you know
he believes in himself so much that he appealed.
Right. If you know you took Adderall and this is your opportunity to get on your soapbox and say it should be legal. Yeah. You know what? Now it's 6 games.
Yeah.
Right.
It's illegal.
Because see this book right here where it says if you don't have a prescription, it's illegal and you're going to take a 4-day vacation? That's where you've broke a rule.
All right. John Rooks here, right, getting ready for Patriots Playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was excellent. Good. How was yours?
Oh, you know, yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Did they have good meals at MetLife?
They had turkey, but I abstained.
You abstained from turkey?
Because I was going to have it the next day. I didn't want to ruin it.
I had it. It was delicious.
Was it good?
Yeah, the whole meal was.
Usually it's pretty good. You know, when they
MetLife is one of the best.
When the media has to go out to someplace like that, it's actually, they do a pretty good job most places.
And yeah. MetLife Stadium, New York, has always been one of the best press box spreads in the NFL.
All right,
John. Well, have a good show.
Yes, sir.
He's coming up, and then Fantasy Football Champs is coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll be back tomorrow at noon.
Your signal in the distance, to whom it may concern.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.